High school football action is on Platte River Radio.
The following is another Classic Hits sports presentation. Classic Hits 98.9 presents high school football.
Eight plays on this drive, all on the ground. Ball in the near hash. And Jensen's going to turn and go back to pass. He's got Olmstead open in the corner of the end zone. And can he hang on? Yes, touchdown. Great catch that time by Zach Olmstead.
Tonight it's a D1 top 10 battle from Shelton as the Bulldogs welcome in the Overton Eagles. High school football on Classic Hits 98.9 is brought to you by the KKPR Sports Club.
First down and 10 at the 24, and now they're going to go out of the spread on first down for the first time. Jensen, the quarterback, with three wideouts. Pump fake, want to go deep, and Olmstead's behind everybody and makes the fingertip catch at the 30, to the 20, to the 10. Touchdown, Overton.
Shelton won their season opener last week and looks to make it 2-0 by upsetting a perennial powerhouse, Overton, as they start a new era under new head coach Paul Eusenfeld. It's the Eagles and the Bulldogs coming up next, but first, the new Tech Seed pregame show. We'll take you live to Shelton with Classic Hits' Randy Bushcutter right after this word from new Tech Seed.
New Tech is proud to support high school sports. New Tech is known as the undisputed yield leader as a result of their excellent performance in university and first trials and in your fields. While winning isn't everything at the high school level, it sure makes things a lot more interesting. To put New Tech's winning genetics to work for you, contact Terry or Jason Stark at 750-6060 or visit newtech at yieldleader.com.
New Tech Seed. The undisputed Midwest yield leader.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Shelton as the high school football season kicks off in earnest this Friday night here in Shelton. The Bulldogs did get an early start to the season. They were one of the handful of teams in classes outside of Class A that saw action last week, and they were able to come away with a win. And when they broke the huddle just a little bit ago, the chant was 2-0. They're hoping to be 2-0. But it won't be easy taking on Overton. Last week, the Bulldogs won at Nebraska Christian 18-12 in a game that, well, quite frankly, Mike Lowe, the head coach of Shelton, kind of wished his team would have played a little bit better in, but anytime you went on the road to start the season, you certainly don't want to look a good horse in the mouth. But they make their home opener tonight, and it will not be an easy task. Overton, traditionally a power in the western part of the state in eight-man football, and this year, well, the expectations are still very high. They finished the season last year rated fourth in the state, finished 11-1 on the year, and now they're rated as high as number three in Huskerland Prep. They are rated number five in the Omaha World Herald. So expectations are high in Overton, even though they have a new head coach. Glenn Snodgrass has moved on, coaching at York in Class B, and Paul Hensveld is the new head coach for the Overton Eagles. He makes the transition from coaching over at Medicine Valley and has made it over to Overton, but obviously the cupboard is not bare because, again, Huskerland Prep and the Omaha World Herald both have Overton rated in the top five of the state. So Shelton on their home field, again, they've got some size. They've got a little bit of a bulk out there, but again, Overton always has that. This is a very intriguing early season matchup. A lot of folks around Shelton think that this might be the year that they can kind of take that next step forward, and certainly a good step in that direction would be tonight if they were able to hand Overton a season-opening loss for the Eagles and improve their record, Shelton's record, to 2-0 on the season. Obviously, not an easy task at all, but we'll find out what the two head coaches have in store. We're going to take a quick break here on the New Tech Seed pregame show, and when we return, we'll talk with the new head coach of the Overton Eagles. That'll be followed by Shelton head coach Mike Lowe. We'll do that when we continue with the New Tech Seed pregame show right after this timeout.
Can you believe it's that time of year again already? Doug Duda here for Misco Sports on the bricks of the downtown Kearney Center as they get ready for the fall sports season. They've got everything you need for football, volleyball, and softball, including gear for the Kearney Junior Football League, helmets, shoulder pads, pants, and shoes, and the Misco's professionals will personally fit your child so they're ready to go. And Misco's takes care of the high school kids as well with specials on football gloves this season and girls softball bats from Bowden and Easton and all the officials' gear that the men and women need to get the game called right. It's at Misco's on the bricks, downtown
Kearney. You've been planning to finish that room and remodel the basement, but there's never time. You can't always keep up on the to-dos of a house, and that's when you call the guys at Husker Tech. They can take the stress out of getting your house done, allowing you to still live your life. commercial or residential remodeling, Husker Tech can also do all the concrete work, and they specialize in farm building steel or wood construction. They can take care of everything that needs to be done, except for maybe the dishes. That's on you. So call the McCarter boys today. You can find their listing in the Overton phone book.
Back on the New Tech Seed pregame show here on Classic Hits 98.9. Overton starts a new dynasty or a new tenure with Paul Huesenfeld as their head football coach. And he joins us here to talk about the start of the season, taking over this program that has done so, so well. And, Coach, what are you finding harder, trying to live up to the community's expectations or just getting these kids ready to go?
Well, I tell you what, every day I'm working here, I'm getting better and better at trying to take on this pressure here at Overton, but I'm up for it. I think I live for it, and the kids have been really helping me out to take on the pressure. So,
how has fall camp went for you?
I think fall camp went really well. It's been a learning experience for both of us, but I think we've really went through. The scrimmage went well, and I got a great group of kids to work with. So.
Obviously, a lot of folks that follow this football team for the last few years know a lot of the names, but you've got to start with Jacob Olmstead. Zach has graduated, but Jacob is back. Is that what you build your team around, or do you try and look at one guy to kind of be the rock of the team?
I really don't. It's not revolved around one. You know, it's revolved around the whole team and the team atmosphere. Obviously, he's a great individual, but you know, one person can't win a ball game. You know, you need seven others to go on with it. And I think we got a good core group that relates well with Jacob. And I think he's just a part of what we're going to do this year.
Overton head football coach Paul Huesenfeld joining us here on Classic Hits. He came over from Medicine Valley. For the folks that don't know that, what changes will the fans notice that you are making to either the offense or the defense?
The biggest thing is I'm going to be running the offense where over at Medicine Valley. I was just mainly the defense coordinator, helped out on offense, but, you know, kind of took over the defense on my own. It's going to be a new experience for myself going into a football game, get a call to offensive plays instead of the defense. But I am just so looking forward to it. You know, I've been waiting for it, and I'm kind of excited. Can't wait for tomorrow.
Will we see a balance line again? Overton like to run a lot of off balance or unbalanced to run the sweep. You know what they like to used to do. Do you change that, or do you go with what those kids and their system are used to?
I did change it. You know, a little bit more balanced, kind of traditional, kind of Nebraska type style, run pass, play action. I do have some unbalanced set in there, and you know, we're kind of a very versatile team, so we're going to throw everything at anybody that we come at against.
Chat with Overton head coach Paul Huesenfeld here on the New Tech Seed pregame show. Your quarterback is Matt Ayton. He has a very athletic background. Tell me a little bit about him.
He's really evolved. Him and Hayden Coyle were neck and neck all the way to this end here. And at the scrimmage, he just showed a little bit more patience and a little bit of leadership. And I think, you know, he's going to do well. You know, he's still going to be a little young, but he's going to do well, and he's going to lead our team. And he's taken over and done a great role.
The defense always been solid. You were the man in charge of defense at Medicine Valley. Take me to that side of the ball and how deep you think you can be there.
I think, you know, our defense is going to be the strongest point, and that's the one thing I kind of revolved the whole team around was we're going to keep our defense the same and keep going after you hard. We're going to hit you hard, and we're going to be fast, and, you know, we don't want you to gain any yards, and that's kind of the philosophy I live by, so.
You only have two juniors on the roster, which means there's a little gap there between senior leadership and we are seniors and then kids that are just trying to get on the field as sophomores. Are they meshing okay?
Oh, yeah. You know, with only those two juniors, it hasn't really slowed us down because we have such a great and large sophomore group that they've been just plugging in. Yeah, they're a little young, but I think they've stepped up to the challenge and they're doing really well.
Just another minute here with head coach Paul Huesenfeld. You take on Shelton in this ball game tonight. They have a game under their belt. They didn't light up the scoreboard. They didn't send off any huge signals, but they did play a game, and they did win. What's your thoughts about them?
You know, I think Shelton, you know, they're going to be a tough, big team, but I think with our speed and our versatility, we can we're going to pull away with a big win tomorrow night, and that's what I'm hoping. You know, they got it. They do have that game on us, but you know, the one thing is we get to watch film on them, and they have nothing on us besides camp. So I think we're almost
ahead of them in the ball game. So,
were you glad last Friday that you didn't have to play? Did you need this extra week?
Oh, yeah, definitely. You know, always when you get an extra week of practice to be able to just fine-tune everything, you know, that is the best thing for any team. So I'm kind of glad that they've made that rule for the week zero.
And finally, Coach, we'll let you get out of here with this one. We know the expectations are always high at Overton, but now folks, Huskerland Prep, folks that are making the rankings say maybe with the new coach, with some of the kids that graduated, it's time for them to not be the favorite anymore. Maybe Alma's the best team in the district. Maybe Shelton can give them a football game here. What are your thoughts, and what are you saying to the kids about that?
We take it one game at a time. You know, you can't ever just base everything on what everybody says. You know, you got to go out there and you're going to have to fight for your life every time. And every game we go in thinking we're going to win, and you know, and making sure and preparing that we're going to win. You know, if it comes with the loss, we deal with it and we'll move on to the next week. But you know, I'm planning on, you know, putting at least a great effort against any team that comes up against us, if not a win. So I have high expectations for my team. And they know that, and going into this season, you know, I'm looking at hopefully a playoff berth, so and we're preparing for it.
Well, I doubt there'll be much drop-off. If I know Overton fans and you coming in to take over this football team, and Coach, it was a pleasure to get a chance to chat with you. Look forward to working with you in the future, and we wish you the best of luck here against Shelton.
I appreciate it. You know, hopefully after that game, when you get to talk to me, I'm happy, and you know, we got a big win underneath our belt.
Sounds good. That is the first-year head coach at Overton, Paul Huesenfeld, joining us here on the New Tech Seed pregame show. We'll come back and talk with Coach Mike Lowe of the Shelton Bulldogs right after this timeout on Classic Hits.
This broadcast is proudly sponsored in part by Clipper Publishing. Remember to read about this game and all high school sports action in the next issue of the Shelton Clipper, the Wood River Sunbeam, and the Gibbon Reporter. Clipper Publishing is keeping you up to date on all the latest news and sports every day all over central Nebraska. They're a very proud sponsor of all area athletes in the game. Best of luck from everyone at Clipper Publishing.
Pro Team Design is a proud supporter of local athletes and their fans. So come in and talk to our friendly staff for everything from uniforms to stadium chairs, sweatshirts to scorebooks, even screen printing and embroidery. Whether it's athletic or corporate, we can give you a great selection, get the job done on time, and at a competitive price. 2716 Old Fair Road in Grand Island, or check us out on the web at proteamdesign.com.
Back on the New Tech Seed pregame show here on Classic Hits as we are getting ready for Shelton and Overton, game two for the Shelton Bulldogs. And Coach Mike Lowe joins us here on the pregame. Coach, we'll talk about week one here in a little bit, but do you feel more comfortable that you have a game under your belt as you get ready to take on Overton?
I don't know if you can really ever feel comfortable when you take on Overton, but we did get a little, maybe some kinks out after that first game. I guess you always hope your first game is the worst game, so we just have a little bit unknown with Overton since they haven't played yet.
Let's go back to fall camp and up to last week's kickoff. How did you think things went in the off season and through the month of August for your kids?
Really, since school got out, we did Hastings football camp as soon as school got let out, and we thought we performed really well, and there was teams like Overton and Kennesaw, stuff like that there, so pretty much we performed as well as we thought we could all the way through summer, all the way through fall camp. Like I said, that first game we might have just had some jitters and maybe underperformed a little bit.
Let's go through game number one. I guess I'll admit that I was one of the guys that my eyes were open a little bit, that it was 18-12, and you can put too much stock in that. You're thinking, wow, I kind of thought Shelton might have a little bit better offensive performance. Were you thinking the same thing, or was it penalties, turnovers? What actually happened in that ball game?
Well, a little bit of both. We had 13 penalties, which wasn't good. Some of them were legit penalties. Some of them we didn't really see. First offensive play of the game, our running back Luke Glenn didn't have one lost fumble all last year and popped the first one up on about the 30-yard line. So we knew it might be kind of a trying game right from the get-go.
How did you think your kids responded to a little bit of adversity then?
They responded real well. I mean, there was never any it was never an effort thing all night. There was some execution stuff, said a couple turnovers, some penalties, but they're there till the end. They're going to fight all the way through, and it's never a question of effort with this group of kids I got.
Mike Lowe's the head football coach at Shelton. He's joining us here on the New Tech Seed pregame show, getting ready to host the juggernaut that has been in the West in D1 Overton tonight. Before we talk about them, though, Coach, Shelton has been made up as one of those teams. Heck, you're even ranked in a couple of places as a squad that's on the come here. You've got an 8-man football, 7 guys back on one side of the ball, 6 on the other side. Do you think the kids have kind of read a little bit about that, and do you feel very strong that this could be a team that's ready to take that next step?
Well, I definitely know the kids have read a lot about it because we have to hear about it all the time, and they get the Husqvarna prep report and everything else. So, they've read into it. I don't think their heads are too big about it, and it definitely can't be because we got teams on our schedule that are ranked higher than us, and we got a team right down the road. We're not looking ahead or anything, but Kennesaw, they're up there, and I think they're getting more publicity than we're getting. So I think our kids almost have a chip on their shoulder just because we're not up there a little higher.
What makes this team better this year than last year? Besides just the experience, where have you seen in the offseason in game one the improvement?
Well, it has to do with this class. We have about 10 seniors that all have, like I said, great experience, but it's not just the field experience. It's weight room. It's coming in every day. It's making sure studies are done. And like I said, all that stuff kind of translates to the field. And it just gets better and better, and we have the trickle-down effect. So even freshmen that haven't played see the work ethic, and they can follow suit along with that great senior class we have.
Mike Lowe's the head football coach at Shelton. They're trying to take that step from the playoffs last year and do even better this year. And not all the publicity, but Luke Glenn is kind of the face of the program after going over 1,000 yards last season. Talk about his improvement and who else can help him to spread the wealth a little bit.
Well, his improvement has just been his size. He came in as a freshman, I think, at 130 pounds, and we put on about 10 pounds last year, and he's about 140, and I think this year he's up to about 170 almost. He'll tell you he probably weighs more than that, but if he gets on a scale, it's only about 170. So it's size. It's instead of being taken down by one hand and one guy, it's going to take a team to get him down. And the guys who can help him out we've kind of already seen. Mitch Rosh is in the same boat with Luke. Instead of last year where he couldn't get to the outside and he would go down with one guy, he's much bigger, faster, stronger, and he showed it last Friday night with 156 yards and a couple touchdowns, and a couple times he was even running away from some people, and I don't know if he's ever done that. So you can definitely tell the difference early on.
Shelton coach Mike Lowe with us for just another minute here. I look at your line, and we tell the folks out there we've got 210, we've got 230, then you've got 250, and you've got a center that sets at 300 pounds. The reason Overton has won so many football games is they just flat out run over people. It looks like you've got some bulk up front that may not allow them to do that. You got the experience last year by playing Overton. Tell me a little bit more about what you think the matchup's going to be like tonight.
Well, we do have that size up front, and we hope that helps us. We hope they're not in our backfield all the time, but we know they still got the athletes, even though we might not know exactly what they're going to do. We know they got the athletes to do whatever they want to do. So hopefully we can control the game. Last year's game, I thought we were in control, and then as quick as that, Jensen and guys like that can make it out of control pretty quick. So as long as we can keep our guys in there, keep it close, I think we have a really good shot.
Sounds like your defense played okay with all the turnovers and penalties that happened and kind of put them in a hole last week. Do you think they performed well enough to get them ready for tonight?
There was a lot of things that we still need to shore up on defense. Pass coverage and stuff like that is you can't really practice that full speed, especially against another team's starting eight. So that's kind of the main thing we need to work on there, getting in the back. In the other team's backfield a little more, and it's going to be kind of ramped up a little bit playing Overton.
Finally, Coach, will you have to stay with 8 or 10 kids, or do you feel that you're deep enough that you can bring some kids off the bench and spell some of your starters in the second half?
I think that's one of our main assets is we're a deep team. We don't have to play eight guys. We're going to play 16 guys probably every single night or every single Friday night that we go out there. We have a lot of guys at the same level. We have a lot of guys at the same type of position. So we can stay fresh, and if it's supposed to be hot, we should be able to rotate as many guys as we need.
Well, it looks like it's a beautiful night for football and a big night in Shelton. So, Coach, we'll let you get back to preparations, and we'll talk to you later on in the season. And best of luck to the Bulldogs in this top 10 type of ball game.
All right, thank you.
That's Mike Lowe, head football coach of the Shelton Bulldogs. And when we come back, the starting lineups from Shelton here on Classic Hits 98.9 and the New Tech Seed pregame show.
Larry's Market in Shelton provides you with fresh foods right in your own hometown. Check out the fresh produce and meats. With weekly specials, you will save even more by shopping local. Don't forget, Larry's has movie rentals, party supplies such as balloons, deli trays, and deli sandwiches.
I have always said that I'm a Nebraska Farm Bureau member because it gives me, as a farmer, a voice in the legislature and in Washington, D.C. But did you know what your Buffalo County Farm Bureau does for you in your own backyard? By giving scholarships to local kids, supporting the Buffalo County Fair and 4-H programs, or tackling zoning concerns and other local issues. Farm Bureau starts right here. That's why I'm a proud Farm Bureau member.
Call Buffalo County Farm Bureau and rediscover your grassroots power.
And welcome back here to Shelton as the Bulldogs and as well as the Overton Eagles have left the football field as we're scheduled to have kickoff in about 7 minutes, but just a few moments ago, lightning in the area was close enough, and the officials have decided that we are going to be in a lightning delay. Right now, the kickoff is set for about 7:20 this evening, so we will be having a lightning delay until at least 7:20. And again, if there's lightning between now and then, that will push that back by another half hour or so. But looking out a little bit to our east, it doesn't look that bad. And, you know, it's cloudy and overcast, but we're seeing a little bit of light out to our west, rather. I said east, but out to our west. And we'll see. We're certainly at Mother Nature's pleasure here, as Shelton and Overton will be in a lightning delay. So that's going to delay our coverage of the game as well. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, what we'll be doing is we're going to try to simulcast from the
And welcome back to the New Tech Seed pregame show. Back here at Miles Field, where Cardi Catholic and Hastings St. Cecilia are getting ready for their final preparations. And let's take a look at the starting lineups tonight, brought to you by Five Points Bank, your community bank. That means they invest in assets locally, make decisions locally, and take the time to know you. Five Points Bank, the better bank, truly cares about what's in it for you. For Hastings St. Cecilia, the visitors tonight at center number 58 is a 185-pound senior, Joe Clark. Along the line, number 51, 210-pound junior, Chris Hartford. Number 57 at guard is Lance Schmidt. He's a sophomore weighing at 200 pounds. Number 60, 225-pound senior, is Jackson Siminski. And at guard, Joe Wallmeyer. He is a senior at 220 pounds, wearing number 77. The tight ends, number 2, 180-pound senior, Matt Kissinger. And number 10, 160-pound senior, Simon Ostrand.
High school football action is on Platte River Radio, 308-646-0506. Put it in your phone book and text us when you've got an area high school sports score.
And welcome back here to Overton as our lightning delay is apparently going to be wrapping up here in 3 or 4 minutes. Both teams will have a little extra time to stretch. There's about 3.5 minutes left on the clock, and both teams have just come back on the field a minute or two ago, and they are going through some stretching regimens to make sure that they're ready for this one. Let's take a look at our Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center injury report. This injury report brought to you by Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center. We'll begin, first of all, for Shelton, who has some fairly serious injuries to report, beginning in a non-contact football injury early in the season. Jacob Strauss broke his leg in a non-contact moment in practice early in the season, so he obviously will not be in action, and in fact is sitting on the sideline in both a leg brace and in a wheelchair, and that wheelchair mostly for comfort, I'm sure, on the sideline. And next to him is Trevor Bombeck. Bombeck did hurt his knee earlier in practice as well, so he will not be participating tonight for Shelton. For Overton, they lose the services of a couple of players, and the one that will be back on Monday will be Tanner Ryan, the sophomore. He actually hurt his arm in a rodeo injury. He was bull riding and basically tore the ligaments in his elbow. Originally, they thought he might be out as much as 3 months. Well, he has been cleared to play this week. He will be back on the field on Monday for the Overton Eagles, so that obviously very, very good news for the Eagles. When you're injured, Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center will get you back into the game of life with locations in Kearney, Ravenna, Minden, Elm Creek, Franklin, Lexington, and now in Wood River. There is one near you. Tell your doctor you want Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center to rehab you back into the game of life. Let's give you our 5 Points Bank starting lineup as well. We'll give both the offensive and defensive starters for both of these two teams. For Shelton, it'll look like this. Clayton Stopke will make the start at defensive end. He is a 6 foot, 170-pound junior. Mitch Rosh is going to be starting at quarterback, a senior, and he is 6'1", 180 pounds. Tucker Spellman will make the start as well at the fullback position here for the Bulldogs, and he is 150 pounds and 5'7". Nathan Wilson will start at tight end for the Bulldogs, and Wilson, a senior, is 6'1", and 170 pounds. Dylan Feifalt, a 6'1", 190-pound senior, will make the start at both tight end and at linebacker. David Mueller will play safety. He is a 5'11", 155-pound junior. Luke Len, also a junior, will make the start. He's 5'9", 165 pounds. He'll play both running back and linebacker today for the Bulldogs. Zach Oliver, the sophomore, will make the start on both the offensive and defensive lines at 6 foot, 230 pounds. Nate Muehlbach will also start as a sophomore. He is 6 foot, 250 pounds, and he'll start on the defensive line. Lance Lyons will start on both sides of the ball. He is 5'10", 210 pounds here for the Bulldogs, and Lyons is a senior. And another senior, Corey Austin, will make the start as well. Austin, 300 pounds. He is 6'1". He'll play center, starting for the Bulldogs, and he is a senior for head coach Mike Lowe. Now for the Overton Eagles, their starting lineup will look like this. Matt Ayton will, let's start it this way. Andrew Olmert, a senior, will start at both running back and outside linebacker. Brett Area, the senior, will play on both the offensive and defensive lines. Trey Colburn, a senior, will play fullback and outside linebacker. Ethan Unix will start on defense as a safety. Brandon Jarrett, a senior, will start on both sides of the ball on the offensive and defensive lines. Trenton Lammers, a senior, he'll start on both the offensive and defensive lines as well. Jacob Olmstead, a senior, will start at end and at a middle linebacker, and the quarterback will be Matt Ayton. Ayton, just a junior, and he'll make the start tonight as a junior. And again, we do not have the weights for the Overton football team, so we know Shelton has some size, and you certainly can look at Overton, and you just kind of know over the years they've got pretty good size as well. So those are your starters for the Overton Eagles as well, for head coach Paul Heinensveld, and he'll be making his debut here for the Overton Eagles, as that is your 5 Points Bank starting lineup. 5 Points Bank, the better bank. Your lifestyle, your bank, and your solution is 5 Points Bank. Taking care of customers one person at a time, 5 Points Bank is the better bank. We're going to take a break. They are announcing the starters here for Shelton, and when we come back after a lightning delay, we'll have a kickoff between the Bulldogs and the Overton Eagles. We'll be back to Shelton right after this.
Builders does the Nebraska State Fair best with Traeger Grill Specials. Visit the Big Traeger booth at the State Fair or at Builders in Kearney or Grand Island. Get $100 off any Traeger grill, plus receive a $50 gift card by mail, and Builders will add in a free cover and free bag of pellets. That's $235 in discounts and upgrades. Buy a Little Tex grill, and Builders will upgrade you to a digital thermostat free. Visit the Big Traeger booth at the State Fair or at Builders in Kearney or Grand Island.
Builders does it best.
When you're looking for a mechanic, you need someone you can trust and someone who knows what they're doing so they can get you back on the road. You have places to go and people to see, so make the Car Shop in Overton your first stop. Tim and the gang do general repairs, parts, and service. The Car Shop in Overton is a very proud supporter of all the area athletes in and out of the game. The Car Shop in Overton, your one-stop automotive headquarters, so when you're in need of parts, repairs, and service, the Car Shop is all you need.
Laser Tech has been putting the serve back in service for over 17 years. Laser Tech can help you with all your printer needs. New and reconditioned units, multifunction units, and fax machines, or cartridges and accessories for an existing printer. Laser Tech technicians are dispatched quickly, utilizing the latest technology, giving you same-day, next-day service. With Laser Tech, trouble-free solutions are only a phone call away. Know how to find the right solution for your business. The solution is how Laser Tech is helping businesses, doing what can be done every day.
First State Bank in Shelton, helping with your financial future is what they do. First State Bank in Shelton can help you with home loans, personal loans, and business loans. They specialize in all areas of banking. Contact the First State Bank of Shelton today and ask about one of the many featured checking and savings accounts they offer. A proud sponsor of area sports, First State Bank in Shelton. Banking in the 21st century with your neighbors and friends. Member FDIC.
High school football action is on Platte River Radio. Have a score from another area game? Pass it along. Text 308-646-0506.
And welcome back here to Shelton. National Anthem has just concluded. Kind of a nice ceremony here. The local Cub Scouts putting the flag up during the National Anthem. We do have some scores for you. Again, we're getting a little bit later start because of our lightning delay, so some games are very much in action. Nebraska Christian with an 8-0 lead over Harvard in the first quarter. Sargent leads Creek Valley 19-0 with 8 minutes left to go in the first. And at last report, a game that we heard a little bit to kind of help us get warmed up for Shelton and Overton on our sister station on the ESPN Superstation in central Nebraska. Tied at 7, it's Kearney Catholic and St. Cecilia. Again, it's on 1550 a.m. in the Hastings area and 1460 in Kearney. It will be Overton doing the honors in terms of kicking off to start the season. Aiden Cahoy will put his toe into it. The sophomore will kick it off at the 30-yard line. And back deep for Shelton is going to be Luke Glenn, as well as I believe that's David Jimenez. And the foot is into it. Cahoy's kick is going to be picked up on the right side by Luke Glenn near the goal line, and he'll slip down on that wet turf after he crosses about the 10-yard line. He'll be down at about the, well, they're going to mark him all the way out to the 14. He got maybe one more stride in there than what I anticipated, and so he'll be a first and 10 from the 14 here for Shelton. As we mentioned, Shelton already one game under their belt. They played last week at Nebraska Lutheran and scored 18 points. Last year, they scored about 40 to start the season, 18 last week, but they did pick up the win. A little counter in the backfield, and dancing around is going to be Glenn, and Glenn will bring it across the 15-yard line, and he is brought down by Olmstead right there, and Jacob Olmstead on that defensive end position, not fouled at all, and Luke Glenn gains maybe 2 yards on the play. So that will set up now 2nd and 8, and again, we might see the field come into play here a little bit. The conditions, there is a real light sprinkle going on now. We had a pretty good, a little bit of a frog strangler for a little while there. So pretty wet field out there right now. Man in motion. They're going to pitch the ball back out here to Glenn. Glenn trying to get the corner, and he is not able to do so as he's going to be ridden out of bounds by Overton's Matt Ayton. And Ayton just was able to kind of stand up his man. And we'll call that a gain of about 1, so it's going to set up now 3rd and a solid 7 here for the Shelton Bulldogs. Shelton in their home blue uniform tops, they got kind of the silver or off-white colored helmets with the bold letter S in there, blue colored S whereas the Overton Eagles, their black pants, white jerseys, blue helmets, quick snap, they flip it to the outside. This would actually be a running play for Glenn, and he's going to bring it across the 20-yard line, well short of the first down. He's going to gain maybe about three on the play in what really is a long lateral. I'm going to give that as part of the running game there, and so it's going to be set up now fourth and a good solid 5 yards. So in punt formation will be Shelton, and they're quickly coming up there. And I believe it's going to be Mueller who will be doing the kicking. And number 28 does make a nice high boot, and trying to track it down over his shoulder is Overton, and it's down to the 1 yard line. Oh, it just crosses the goal line. Trying to down it was Brian Palmer at about the 1 yard line inside the one and couldn't quite get it there. That was about 6 inches away from being an absolutely perfect punt. So a little bit of a break here for Overton as the ball will be brought out to the 15-yard line on the touchback. That could have been a huge momentum swinger here for Shelton to start things off, even though they went three and out. So in under center for Overton will be the quarterback, and he'll step in underneath it. And with it is Aiton. Aiton just hands it off to the first guy through, and it's, I was going to say 3 yards in a cloud of dust, but we're about 3 yards short of that. There wasn't much room at all. No gain on the play as everything's all bunched up. So I think Illumit was the one that actually carried the ball, and he went absolutely nowhere. It doesn't matter who gets the zero on there. It's just a matter of how many rushing attempts you have. Colburn and Illumit, they fake the handoff to Illumit, and keeping the football is going to be Aiton, and Aiton nowhere to go. He has met right at the line of scrimmage. He has stood up immediately by Dylan Theibault, and Theibault stepped through there, and wow, what a hit. So Aiton will give him no yards on that as well. They probably moved it forward about the length of the football, and that's all. So it's going to be third and a solid 9.5 yards here for Overton. So both the two defenses up to this point have really stepped up and answered the call. And Theibault, what a hit on Aiton. And there just wasn't any room to run there. Kind of put the ball in and out of the belly of the fullback, trying to keep it on the option, and there was just nothing happening there. So Aiton will step in under center. Only one back in the backfield. Three-step drop. He'll throw it, and it is incomplete. There wasn't anybody in the neighborhood. So that'll be incomplete here for Aiton. So 0 for 1, and it will be another 3 and out, this time for the Overton offense. And they gained even fewer yards than Shelton. Between these two teams, we have a grand total of 5 yards collectively, each team having a possession. Standing at near midfield for Shelton is going to be Mueller. High snap, slipping as he kicks the ball is Aiton. It is high in the air. It's going to hit about the 35-yard line, and right there is where they'll mark it as it just kind of slipped out of bounds right there. And again, putting his foot into it was Aiton, but Aiton's foot slipped as he was putting it up there. Got a high kick out of it. It could have been a whole lot worse than what it is. But right now, Shelton winning the battle of field position thanks to the exchange of punts. So already in Eagle territory will come the Shelton Bulldogs. They have it first and 10 from the 35-yard line. Rosh will hand the ball off, and boy, busting up the play with some great penetration for Overton is going to be Brandon Jarrett, and Lammers was in there as well, just absolutely no room to run. Tackle. Tackle made immediately, actually a loss of 2 on the play.
2 yard loss, second down and 12 to go for the Bulldogs.
So second and 12 here as they're heading in the wrong direction. Again, good field position here for Shelton, their second possession of the game. Dropping back to pass is going to be Rash. He'll look, and it is tipped. Luke Glenn on that right side. Had they been able to throw just a little bit higher, might have been in pretty good shape, but tipping the ball for Overton was Hayden Cahoy. And also on that right side was Enochs as well. So that'll be an incomplete pass. So both teams looking for their first completion here. And had that been about 2 feet taller, well, for one thing, the defense might have been able to step in and make the stop because they had pretty good coverage there, but had they been able to catch that ball, there wasn't anybody behind the receiver. rolling out is Rash. You look. Now he's going to tuck it, go across the line of scrimmage to the outside, has the first down, scoots to the outside, and it'll be first and 10 from about the 22-yard line. Little quarterback keeper, nice little scramble there, and we're going to call that a gain of about 15. The scramble on that far side and hurt, but now coming up is Jacob Olmstead. Olmstead will actually have to come out of the game because they stopped for him. He's right on that sideline. He's going to come out, and for whatever reason, his helmet is off, and now he's putting it back on. I'm not sure what happened to him, but he is not going to be out of this game very long, it would appear. So the ball is spotted at about the 23-yard line, first and 10 here for Shelton. First time that either team has picked up a first down, and Shelton in pretty good field position here. Hand off to the tailback, and coming right through the middle is going to be Glenn, and Glenn gets the ball maybe inside the 20. Yeah, we'll mark it down about the 19-yard line. Actually, by the time you unstack it, that's not a bad low gain. That's a gain of almost 5 yards on the play. And that'll set up now second and 5. Certainly, they would keep that schedule up because, for one thing, you're probably in four-down territory with the ball at about the 18-yard line, second and 5 here for Shelton. And Shelton kind of picked up some momentum with the exchange of punts, and they've been able to capitalize so far. They've already been able to march the ball down for one first down. Here they'll run a low cross buck. Quarterback's going to keep it. Wash trying to get to the outside. He'll tuck in, and he's going to get across the line of scrimmage and gain maybe about one. Hayden Cahoy on that far side just kind of kept stringing that play out. It's going to be a gain maybe of about, we'll call it a yard and a half or so. And that's going to set up now third and a long 3. Probably closer to 4 here, third and 4. So Rash will come in under center. No backs directly behind him. He has a couple of wing backs, essentially. And he'll make a quick little step. Throws it in underneath. It is complete. Breaking a tackle near the goal line. And it is a touchdown. Touchdown. Scoring from 17 yards away. Quick little dump pass to Dylan Thiefold. And Thiefold just tiptoeing through the minefield, got all the way in, actually crossed the goal line before he fumbled. He did lose the ball, but it didn't really matter because the Shelton player fell on it anyway. So that'll be a touchdown on the pass and a 6-0 lead here for Shelton as they come back and they drive the ball 35 yards here as they make the completion. So touchdown pass from Ratch to Thiefold, and it is a 6-0 lead. And we have a delay of game, I believe. Now the rain is starting to come in, being driven by the rain, actually coming off sides, lining up off sides is Shelton. And you can see the umbrellas kind of coming out and everything as the wind picks up the rain a little bit. And at this point, I'm very grateful for press boxes. So we'll see if that changes the play call here on second. Well, trying to get the two-point conversion. And in underneath is going to be Rash. He's going to step back, looking to throw in the end zone, throws it through the end zone, goes through the hands, and incomplete. Intended for Thiefold, who got the touchdown. Can't pull in the pass with a two-point conversion, so your score remains. It's Shelton 6 over to nothing. The Bulldogs, with the wind and the rain at their back, will kick off when we come back after this.
6-0. Athletes come in all shapes and sizes, and Kearney Orthopedic and Sports Medicine specializes in getting them all back in their game. From swinging a hammer to swinging a golf club, whether tackling daily tasks or tackling the running back, see Kearney Orthopedic and Sports Medicine Clinic. If you're suffering from any injury that's putting you on the sidelines, make an appointment today and take comfort in our care. Kearney Orthopedic and Sports Medicine.
Weekend mornings are hard to wake up and get going. So Sportsman's Restaurant is giving you a reason to get up and get to Gibbon for a full breakfast menu Saturdays from 6 to 10, and all-you-can-eat breakfast buffet and fresh fruit bar on Sundays for only $5.95. And as if that's not enough to make the short drive to sunny downtown Gibbon, Sportsman's is doing a Sunday brunch buffet from 11 to 2 for only $7.95 as well. Sportsman's, giving you a reason to get up this weekend.
And welcome back. fact, Shelton wasting no time kicking off. They've already kicked off, and as we mentioned, the wind picking up, pretty good strong wind at their back, and they were able to punch it into the end zone for the touchback. So it will be Overton ball, first and 10 now from the 15-yard line. And we need a squeegee to clean, wipe off the window in front of us. We'll do the best we can here. Ayton will step back and throw, and it is incomplete, almost intercepted on that far side by Nathan Wilson as pressure was on Ayton. And he threw the ball off to the right side, trying to just dump it off, and Wilson actually was a little bit closer to the ball than what Ayton really thought. And so that ended up being a little bit more dangerous probably than what Overton wanted to, but they did get the result they wanted to, and that was just get rid of the ball and not have that be a sack. So it'll be second and 10 from the 15. And the Overton offense has not got things going underway. Very early on in this one, 7:14 to go here, they're going to pitch it back to the right side, and with the run is going to be Illumint, and Illumint will get to the outside. He'll make a nice little gain of about, as they unstack things, it's about 3 yards or so. No, less than that. It's only about 2 yards. So Illumint's carried the ball 2 times for 2 yards. And there is a flag on the play, so they haven't marked it yet, and they are talking to Shelton. So it would appear that this will be second and long as they're unstacking everything and moving backward. And it's going to be a hold. And depending on exactly where it took place, it's either a 10-yard penalty or half the distance. Either way, it's going to be pretty close. The ball is going to be at the 10-yard line, so they're going to have to gain 15 here. That math is pretty easy because the drive started at the 15, so they got to get to the 30. So from the 10-yard line, second and 15 here for the Eagles. So actually a 10-yard penalty. And they're still unstacking everything here. Ball marked inside the 7, so actually it's going to be about 17, not 15. So second and 17, so half the distance was inside. Quick little pitch to the outside, and no room at all to run there for Trey Colburn. Colburn is wrapped up by Clayton Stopcotti, and also stretching it out. Mueller was over there. That one just had no chance of success whatsoever. So Colburn, no gain on the play, and it's going to set up third and about 17 here for Overton. And Overton, near the shadow of their own goal line, they have the ball at about the 8-yard line. They've got to get all the way out to the 25. And the clock is moving here with 6:32 to go here in quarter number one. A 6-0 Shelton lead. And in under center is going to be Ayton. Ayton rolls to his right, looking to throw, throws it in underneath. It's tipped and almost intercepted. Oh, with the ball right in his hands and not quite being able to pull it in was number 4, Mitch Rosh, and he just about had it. And that could have been a real game turner there because that ball would have been at about the 15-yard line when he made the interception, and he certainly would have got awfully close to at least the 10, as there wasn't a whole lot of white jerseys in front of him. In any event, the pass is incomplete, and Overton grateful for that, and now they'll have to punt the ball. Ayton will be in kick formation. He'll put his foot into it at about the goal line. It might have been partially blocked. It is not a very good kick. It is going to roll dead inside the 20-yard line. That is going to be an 11-yard punt. Now, a little bit of wind in his face, a lot of pressure right up the middle, and an 11-yard punt. And so the punting game right now, a little bit of a factor here for Overton because Shelton, again, with great field position. The ball at about the 17-yard line, a little crossbuck, not much room to run on that right side, and for a moment there, I thought the ball might have come loose as everybody's kind of dancing around a little bit. So Glenn with the carry and gains maybe about 3. A little action afterwards made me thought that maybe they dropped the ball, but it's a gain of 2 brought down by the center of the Overton line. So second and 8 with a 6-0 Shelton lead. Shelton has the ball at about the 16-yard line. They go split back formation, quick little pitch Got a lead black back as Glenn will try to get the corner. Gets down to about the 10-yard line. He gets it maybe just a little bit across the 10 as they just kind of stretch it out there. It's going to set up now third and very short. Gain of about 6.5 yards on the play. Well, maybe not quite six. It appears that he's actually just a little bit short of the 10, the way they got it marked on that far sideline anyway. Yeah, it is just outside the 10, and they've got to get the ball about the 8-yard line. So this is going to set up third and about 2.5, maybe 3 yards. But again, definitely four down territory here for Shelton. And the officials get everything all set here. Rash has basically two wing backs on either side of him. Spellman to his right, Glenn to his left, and he'll just quarterback sneak it right up the middle. Nice little line surge there. That's going to be awfully close. Just a quick little quarterback sneak that gains about 2.5 yards. And we'll call it a gain of 3. It is enough for the first down. They don't even need to measure. It'll be first and goal here for Shelton. And again, with no backs in the backfield, you had to think, if you're Overton, you had to think that Shelton may just be quarterback sneaking there. And even with that happen, that big, strong offensive line for Shelton was able to gain him about 3 yards. They go out of the split back formation. Rasher is going to keep it himself. He'll keep it between the tackles and will be stopped short of the 5-yard line. He'll gain about, a yard and a half or so. We'll see exactly where they spot it. It is going to be short of the five. It's going to be a gain of only about a yard. And with 4:40 to go here in quarter number one, right now Shelton trying to make a statement. They lead it 6-0. And again, they've done a great job defensively keeping Overton from getting any kind of offense going whatsoever. And they're going to try to punch it in here again. A little crossback. Quarterback's going to keep it. Bounces to the outside. Breaks one tackle. And in for the touchdown. Pitch Rosh with an 8-yard run. And that will make it a 12-0 lead here for Shelton. So the first 8 minutes definitely belong to the Bulldogs. They have a 12-0 lead over Overton as they have scored in two of their first three possessions. And Overton total yards up to this point is about 2. So they will go for 2 here, leading it 12-0. Quick little keeper. Rosh will keep it. Trying to get the outside. Tries to tuck his head in, and I think he's going to be short. He is going to be stopped there short of the goal line. He might have got the helmet there, but certainly did not get the football in there. Trent Lammer is one of the guys that helped stand him up. So the attempt for 2 is no good. Score remains. It is 12-0. Shelton with the lead over Overton. 4:20 to go in the first quarter. We're back after this.
Honey, hurry. We need to finish loading up the trash. The dump closes in 30 minutes.
Don't let trash take up time in your busy schedule. Let Ravenna Sanitation take care of all your trash needs. At Ravenna Sanitation, they take trash seriously. They're there to be your trash collection connection. If you need trash removal from your home, business, or farm, Ravenna Sanitation is the quality, dependable trash hauling service that you've been looking for. Ravenna Sanitation, serving all of Buffalo County.
Andrew Illumin is teeing it up here for the third time in the game for Shelton, and the first time it's blown off the tee. Wind at his back, and it has died down just a little bit. The kicking game, bit of a story in this one, because certainly the exchange of punts has benefited Shelton throughout the course of the game, and the fact that Overton has not moved the ball at all. High kick into the end zone, and Almquist... Olmquist, just has to watch that one go over his head. And if you kick it over the top of Jacob Olmstead, you've kicked it over the top of one of the tallest guys on the field. And so it will be moved out to about the 15-yard line. And again, the wind has helped, but Shelton's kicking game has ruled the day so far, and so is their defense and offense. They are winning all three phases of the game, and they lead it 12-0. Quick little pitch to the outside. Illumin tries to get the corner, slips off of one tackle. That's going to be their best gain of the day. In fact, it's going to be more yards than what they've had so far in the day. They gain about 6 on the play. So it'll set up 2nd and 4 here for Overton. And again, they really just kind of want to set a some sort of statement, if nothing else. Just get some first downs, try to get to the second quarter, and be able to punt with a win at their back, if nothing else. They got a long ways to go. They'll have to actually get several first downs to make that happen. Quick little cross buck up the middle. The fullback breaks through, has enough for the first down, and Colburn just muscles his way forward. He's going to gain a good 7-8 yards. Just right up the middle, and now Overton just kind of doing what they've done over the years, and that's just come right at you. They're down by 12, and Shelton has given up their two biggest plays of the game so far and their only first down of the game as well. So for Overton, I think a very important drive to kind of start getting their sea legs underneath them, because Shelton up to this point has really been able to kind of control things. Again, under center is going to be Aiden. Aiden, landed ball off, coming off tackle, is going to be to Colburn. Colburn gains maybe about two as he bounces to that outside, and pulling him down after a short little gain is Nate Muehlbach. And it'll be a gain of close to three. We'll call it a gain of two, though. And so Illumit with 8 yards so far in the game. Ball marked right at the 30-yard line. They need to get to about the 38-yard line, so we'll call it here second and eight. And again, that clock running. 2:40 to go here. Quarter number one. Shelton on their home field with a 12-0 lead over Overton after we had a lightning delay of about 20 minutes or so. Rolling out to his right is Aiden. He'll ball fake, and he'll go off the hands of Holmquist and out of bounds. Pretty good coverage on that far side by Rosh. But Holmquist, probably a ball they probably wish he could have had. Now, again, I don't have a great angle from where we're looking at. Both players had their back to me as they were running their pattern. So that ball might have been knocked out of hands by Rosh. He had great coverage there. In any event, Overton still looking to complete their first pass of the season. They might have a passing situation here as it is third and eight from the 30-yard line. And Holmquist will be the end on the right side. He's going out for a pass. Aiton is looking for him. They're going to set up the screen, and it is knocked away and almost intercepted. Oh, Dylan Feifold almost with a huge play. If he would have been able to hold on to that, we're lining up for another two-point conversion. So Feifold able to knock down the screen, and Overton 0-for-5 passing the football here in the game. They couldn't even complete a screen there thanks to the penetration by Feifold. So Aiton, I would assume, will be in kick formation here. And back deep for the Bulldogs is going to be David Mueller. And Aiton is in kick formation. Again, he's also the quarterback. I doubt you would fake it here. Low snap, not much pressure. Best kick of the day so far. It'll go over the head of the deep back, and now making one guy miss is Mueller. And Mueller then will come back up, and he'll end up gaining about seven on the return. The ball will be short of the 30-yard line, but marked at about the 28-yard line. Will be first and 10 here for Shelton. 2:12 to go here before the end of the first quarter, a quarter that has absolutely been dominated by Shelton. And again, Overton still looking for their first pass completion, and Overton so far gaining about 16 yards. They have a 10-yard penalty, so far 6 yards of total offense for Overton. So Shelton's defense doing the job, and so is their offense. Two touchdowns on the board. Leading at 12-0, 2:12 to go here in quarter number one. Ball spotted about the 28-yard line. And stepping in under center is Mitch Rosh. And he'll pitch it. Then he'll start blocking for Luke Glenn on the outside. And Glenn trying to get the corner turned, but pretty good penetration there right in front of the Shelton bench. And not much room to go at all. And when they unstack things, bottom of the pile is J.D. Callahan, and Callahan with some pretty good penetration there actually is able to keep Glenn at negative one, actually a loss of about one on the play. So second and 11, and for Overton, they need to get something going. Maybe it's their defense that can get it going. They kind of felt they'd have a pretty good solid defense, as you heard in our coaches' interviews before the game. That was a long time ago, thanks to the delay. And Overton right now on defense, forced to call a timeout. They called a timeout, didn't like the way that they had personnel out there, I believe. With a minute 35 to go here in the first quarter, it is 12-0 Shelton. Second and 11, we come back in 30 seconds.
Protein Design is a proud supporter of local athletes and their fans. So come in and talk to our friendly staff for everything from uniforms to stadium chairs, sweatshirts to scorebooks, even screen printing and embroidery. Whether it's athletic or corporate, we can give you a great selection, get the job done on time, and at a competitive price. 2716 Old Fair Road in Grand Island, or check us out on the web at proteindesign.com.
And welcome back. We have some score updates for you. It is Sargent leading Creek Valley 33-0 late in the first quarter. Late in the first quarter. Well, you can kind of anticipate a running clock in the second half there. And Centura leading the Cozad Haymakers 14-6 as that game also in the first half. So second and 11 here for the Shelton Bulldogs. Also last report on our sister station on ESPN Superstation 7-7. St. Cecilia and Kearney Catholic. In the shotgun formation, going to be Rosh. Rosh will throw it out to the right side. A little ball fake by Glenn as he made the catch, and he is going to gain maybe about 2 yards on the play, and that is going to be about it. So Rosh with a nice little pass out there to Glenn, and Glenn out in space. They kind of want to get him out into space, but making the tackle on the far side was the Overton defender, and I believe that was eight. In any event, not bad coverage there at all. Ends up being a gain probably closer to four there because they were behind the line of original line of scrimmage. And it's going to set up here, we'll call it third and eight. Shotgun formation for Rosh. He's got time to throw. A little penetration now. Now he's going to step up, and he's going to throw it deep. Has a man. There it is, off his hands and incomplete. Might have been tipped just a little bit at the last second by Ayton. And then off the hands of Luke Glenn. So let's give Ayton credit for a little bit of a tip there, just enough. And again, if that ball is caught, that is probably, well, if he keeps his feet, but he fell trying to make the catch. But in any event, it would have been first and 10 about the 15-yard line. Now punt formation and a high kick. And again, no return on this. It is going to go out of bounds right at the 15-yard line. So another nice punt there by David Mueller, and again, no return at all. So it'll be marked right at the 15-yard line. Coming up at half, the Ravenna Sanitation Halftime Report. And don't forget tonight, it'll be the Five Points Bank Scoreboard Show. Josh Gelman with all the scores, and we'll get coaches' interviews and maybe hear from Bob Jensen from the Husqvarna Prep Report and a whole lot more. Game recaps from all the games that we're covering in the area. The Friday Night Scoreboard Show tonight, brought to you by Five Points Bank. First and 10 here for Overton from the 15-yard line. And they need to get something going here offensively. And Ayton will be under center, run a little crossbuck, keep the ball himself, comes right through the middle, drops the football. It's on the ground, and Shelton, I believe, has it. And they do. Coming up with a loose ball after it was dropped for the Bulldogs is Lance Lyons. And Lyons comes out with the first turnover of the game, pouncing on the football as the quarterback gives it up after a gain of maybe about three on the play. So Lyon with the recovery, and the ball will be inside the 20-yard line. It'll be first and 10 from the 18. Quick little handoff to the tailback, Glenn. And Glenn, not much room to run there, but he is not going down. He is fighting for every yard. He is in hand-to-hand combat with Andrew Illumit, also with Trenton Lammers. And it's only a gain of about one on the play. But he does not want to give up any ground there. So it'll be second and nine. And that will most assuredly be the final play of the quarter. 3, 2, 1, and now all zeros on the clock, except for the number underneath the home side of the scoreboard. It is Shelton 12, Overton nothing, and the Bulldogs are driving. We'll be back to start the second quarter right after this.
Honey, hurry. We need to finish loading up the trash. The dump closes in 30 minutes.
Don't let trash take up time in your busy schedule. Let Ravenna Sanitation take care of all your trash needs. At Ravenna Sanitation, they take trash seriously. They're there to be your trash collection connection. If you need trash removal from your home, business, or farm, Ravenna Sanitation is the quality, dependable trash hauling service that you've been looking for. Ravenna Sanitation, serving all of Buffalo County. Overton Sand and Gravel is a proud supporter of this broadcast and all area high school teams in and out of the game this year. Call Overton Sand and Gravel for when you need it rocked. Overton Sand and Gravel is the only name you need to remember. They carry everything from crushed concrete to river rock, decorative rocks, and gravel for driveways. There's no job too big or small for Overton Sand and Gravel, commercial or residential, concrete, and other rock. Overton Sand and Gravel, serving Overton and surrounding areas.
And we do have an update from the Divinity Bowl over in Kearney. It is about 5 minutes left to go before halftime, and right now it is Hastings St. Cecilia, top-ranking Class C2. They have a 10-7 lead over Kearney Catholic as the Stars hanging tough there, but right now St. Cecilia, the Bluehawks, with a 10-7 lead over Kearney Catholic. Here, again, we kind of thought this could be a very tight ball game. Remember, Shelton does have one game under their belt already. They lead it 12-0. And driving here as we start the second quarter. A little handoff right up the middle. That's Glenn, and Glenn is met by Olmquist, who is tackling the football, trying to get the ball loose. They dive into the pile there. I'm not sure if they said the ball ever came out at all. Olmquist made the tackle, coming up with the ball and handing it to the official is Overton, but it did appear to me that the running back was on his back before the ball came out. Olmquist definitely trying to rip at it. But I think the ball was secured there by Glenn after a gain maybe of about one on the play. So it'll set up now 2nd and 7. They have to get the ball about to the 8-yard line, and it's just outside of the 15. Quick little pitch to the right side. Glenn is going to throw it back to the quarterback on this side. He's got one blocker. Comes back up the middle. Touchdown! Nice little razzle-dazzle. They pass back to the quarterback. Luke Glenn able to hit Rosh. And it is a touchdown. Nice 15-yard play there, as it is Rosh who makes the reception, and he scores the touchdown. He's done it every way you can do it, a touchdown pass, a touchdown run, and now a touchdown reception. Yeah, pretty good block on the outside by Tucker Spellman as well, as they kind of had a one-man screen set up over here. So it is 18-0. Early on in the second quarter. Under center is going to be Rosh, and he's going to fake it to the right, look to throw, pass off the fingertips, and incomplete. Try for two, no good. Dylan Feifel couldn't reel it in, so it's still 18-0. 11:15 to go here before halftime. A bit of a surprise for Shelton. They lead it by 3 touchdowns. We're back after this.
The most recommended by far, Houston's Body Shop, that's who we are. Put your car or truck back to factory specs. Free estimates from certified techs. When you need a tow, we're the ones to know. The most recommended, Houston's Body Shop, that's who we are.
Well, it's been a busy first half here for the quarterback for the Shelton Bulldogs, as Mitch Rosh has run for a touchdown, thrown for a touchdown, and received a touchdown as well. There's about another half dozen ways you can score touchdowns, but he's got pretty much the offensive stuff all covered here. So Shelton with an 18-0 lead here, 11:15 to go, and high kick, a little bit of wind in their face. So coming up with the kickoff is going to be Olmstead. Olmstead to the outside, breaks one tackle. The whole pile is moving forward, and Olmstead is able to surge all the way out to about the 36-yard line before he's finally being brought down there. And really the guy that kind of fought through the crowd there, I think, was David Jimenez. And Jimenez able to kind of disrupt things. He may not have got the tackle, but he's the one that kind of got the penetration in there. And Jimenez 5'1", 110 pounds, helping to bring down Olmquist. Olmstead. So that's a pretty solid effort there. 1st and 10 from the 35. Quick little pitch to the outside. And with it is going to be Illumit. And Illumit is brought down after a short gain. Nice open field tackle for Shelton, pulling him down with Zach Oliver. And Oliver Gives up a couple of yards there, maybe a gain of about three on the play, but a nice open field tackle. Otherwise, that could have been a big run here for Illumit. So we'll call that a gain of three. And Overton, a little something positive. They're trying to get across midfield for the first time tonight. The ball is across the 35-yard line, out to about the 37. And they've got to get all the way to the other 35. So they've got about 7.5 yards to go here. One back in the backfield for Ayton, who's under center. He'll put a man in motion. That's going to be Kahoy. And we have a delay of gain. So 5-yard penalty for Overton will undo the success they had just a few moments ago and set up now second and about 13. Getting to about 2, maybe 2.5. So you can round it up or round it down depending if you're optimistic, pessimistic, and which team wearing blue you're rooting for. In any event, it's going to be second and about 13 here, and Ayton will be in under center. He'll put a man in motion. That'll be Kahoy, and they'll fake the handoff. Now give it to Kahoy. Kahoy coming across, and pretty good penetration there, and he dropped the football. He may have fallen on it. Gain maybe of about 2. The ball was loose. I think the ball went right back to Kahoy. It did come loose there, and he's going to gain maybe about 2 on the play, and that's going to be now 3rd and 11. That's a dangerous way to make a living. So gain of 2. And Rosh was one of the first guys there. That one did not really fool Shelton at all. And Kahoy just being athletic enough to kind of dance around a little bit there. 3rd and about 11. Ayton back, throws the ball high in the air. Holmquist with a jump ball and can't come down with it. It is ripped out of his hands by Rosh, and it is incomplete. Hand-to-hand combat, and Olmstead has to make the catch. And the defensive play for Rosh, all he has to do is knock the ball to the turf, and that is what he's able to do. Another incomplete pass, and Overton yet to complete one. They are 0 for 6 throwing the football. And again, arguably one of the best, if not their very best player, is probably Jacob Olmstead. And again, if your best player is a receiver, you have to complete some passes, clearly. So they're aiming for him, but it is incomplete. So 4th down here, and the punt coming. Ayton high kick. Trying to track it down here for Shelton. It is going to be Mueller. Mueller makes one guy miss. Bounces to the outside, gets down the sideline, and he's going to be pulled down after he gets across the 30-yard line out to about the 32. Didn't look like a whole lot going on there, but Mueller made one guy miss, came through on the left sideline, tiptoed down the sideline, and he'll have the ball across the 30-yard line. 1st and 10 here for Shelton, and they have had the better of the field position throughout the course of the game, even when that wind is at Overton's back. That wind has died down significantly here as the flag in the as the front has kind of moved through. The clouds are breaking up just a little bit. I think we're done with both the rain and the lightning. In any event, 1st and 10, a little cross-buck action. Glenn comes right back up the middle, dances around. He's going to be pulled down after a gain of about 6 or 7. And I think Dylan Margritz was in on the tackle, number 26 down there, I believe. And also, Olmstead comes up at the bottom of the pile. That's going to be a gain of about 5 on the play. So near midfield will be 1st and 10 2nd and 5 from about the 38-yard line, just short of midfield, is Shelton. And they've spent much of the game on Overton's side of the field. Well, crossbuck hands it off to the first back coming through. That's going to be Spellman, and Spellman is going to gain a yard, yard and a half, maybe close to 2 yards. He is met right as he got to the 40-yard line. He is just across midfield from where they're going to spot the football. And that'll be a nice little gain. They got about half of what they needed there, gain of about 2.5. And we'll credit Tucker Spellman with a gain of 3. That'll put him for positive yardage in the game. That's now his 2nd carry, and he has a total of 1 yard out of those 2 carries. Luke Glenn doing most of the carrying here. He's carried the ball 10 times already here in the first half. But again, it's Rosh with a reception and a a rush and a throw for a touchdown. And now we're going to have a timeout here for Shelton. Mike Lowe calls the timeout here for the Bulldogs. Ball right at midfield. It'll be third and one. 8:02 to go here before halftime. And it's 18-0 Shelton with the lead over Overton. We're back after this.
When I told my buddies my starting quarterback in my fantasy league was going to be Matt Schaub, they all laughed. Well, me and my buddies went to Cunningham's Journal like we do every week, practically the ultimate place for sports fans. You can catch all your players on one of their bajillion screens. Husker football every week, awesome food and drink specials, and the beer's so cold. Anyways, we're watching the game on the 10-foot screen. There was Matt Schaub tearing it up, threw for three touchdowns, even ran for one. And guess who's laughing now? So sports fans, there's only one place to be time and time again. That's Cunningham's Journal, downtown Kearney.
And welcome back here to Shelton. It is an 18-0 lead here for the Bulldogs as they break the huddle, are ready to come back out. Real quick, let's give you some of the score updates. Grand Island, no problem with Omaha Bryan. The Islanders lead at 42-0 midway through the second. Giltner leads Hampton 36-0, and Elm Creek 20-0 over Axtell at last report. More scores coming up in just a moment. Here we've got third and two. Hand off, last guy coming through. Breaking one tackle, getting the first down is going to be Luke Glenn. Glenn across the 40-yard line, and he's going to be marked down just short of the 35. That's going to be a gain of about five, just a quick little hitter as they cross things up. Tucker Spellman went one way. Glenn went the other on that little crossbuck. And, well, check that. He said five. That's going to be closer to a gain of three, more than enough for the first down. As will be first and 10 from about the 37-yard line. And a last report in Kearney, it is St. Cecilia with a 10-7 lead over Kearney Catholic. They are at halftime. Quick count. Rosh will come up, and he is going to be knocked down for a loss. He's going to be back on the other side of the 40-yard line. He is wrapped up there. Surging through there was Trent Lammers. Lammers came through almost like he wasn't blocked at all, and that's going to be a loss of about four for Rosh. So that will be second and about 14 here, and that's certainly going to change the strategy here for Shelton, who's done a pretty good job of rushing the football here in the first half. 7-12 before halftime. We'll check more scores for you during the Ravenna Sanitation halftime report, as well as try to total up all the numbers for you right now. Quick low crossbuck in underneath the fullback, not much room to run there, and they're trying to tackle the football, are the Eagles, as they're trying to rip the ball out of the hands of Mueller, who carried the football. And Mueller maybe grabs 1 yard out of it. Olmquist was in there, so was Brandon Jarrett. And again, they're definitely trying to rip the ball out. Ball marked right at midfield, and so it's going to be third and about 13 here. Aiton in under center. He's going to roll out to his right, has a little bit of time to throw, comes to his left, and now he's going to tuck and go. It's across the midfield, going to be pulled down to about the 35-yard line. Not much room to run there on that far side as Olmstead dropped back in coverage and kind of shadowed him around. He actually was knocked out of bounds by Andrew Alumet after a gain of maybe about six or seven on the play, and it's going to set up now fourth and about seven. So Rosh got kind of what he could out of the play, and there just wasn't a whole lot there because it was pretty good coverage downfield by the Eagles. So Mueller will be in kick formation again. He puts a pretty good boot into it, a high kick, and there's going to be no return there. That ball lands about 5 yards deep in the end zone, rolls all the way through the end zone for the touchback. And again, I think Shelton's strategy is to make sure they do not give up very many return yards. They have kicked the ball near the sideline or through the end zone all night, and why not? That just kind of takes away probably one of the things that Overton wants to be able to do here tonight. And they won the battle of the kicking game here. And it's just really every stage of the game, it has been a win here for Shelton. And it shows up on the scoreboard. They lead it 18-0. So it'll be first and 10 here for the Eagles. They'll put a man in motion. They'll run a little crossbuck, fake it off, hand off right off the middle, and just nowhere to go whatsoever for Colburn. Colburn is brought down, wrapped up by Mitch Rosh, and also in on the play was Corey Austin as well. That's going to be a gain of, oh, maybe about the length of a football is all. We'll call it a gain of one here. Good 9 yards here for Overton, who's still trying to figure out how to get things going. They picked up two first downs. That's all they've gotten all afternoon and into the early evening here. Man in motion for the Eagles. That's going to be Illumin. And keeping it is going to be the quarterback, Aiden breaks one tackle, gets to the outside, and really about one player away from having a really big game there. And he is brought down by his counterpart, the other quarterback, Mitch Rosh. And that's going to be a nice gain of about 11 on the play. So first and 10 here, and now Overton maybe trying to get something going. They just need to build a little bit of momentum. Most assuredly, they'll be behind at halftime as we're approaching the five-minute mark here before the break, and it is 18 to nothing. Surprisingly, Shelton, not that they have the lead, but they lead it by three touchdowns. Thought this could be a pretty good matchup tonight, but we thought it'd be a little closer than this, and Overton's trying to make it that way. They throw it, but it's intercepted. No, off the hands. Oh, my goodness. Mitch Rosh had it, broke on the ball beautifully on a ball that was underthrown, and a ball that he just couldn't quite pull in. And again, Aiden looking for his first completion of the game. He is 0 for 7 throwing the football. And really, they haven't thrown it that often. And virtually every time that it happens, you know, you're trying to catch Shelton off guard. They have not been caught off guard. Their defense has looked very, very solid in this one. Now dropping back to pass again is going to be Aiden. Aiden throws it deep to Holmquist, and Olmstead, rather, can't come up with it as it is knocked away. Little underthrown, and Dylan Fifall able to cover some ground and knock the ball away. So now 0 for 8 is Overton. That ball was thrown about 25, 30 yards in the air and hung up there for a little while, and Fifall able to make up some ground because Olmstead was there. Ball thrown maybe on a more of a line or thrown a little bit sooner, that could have had a way different result. In any event, it's going to be third and long here for the Eagles, and they want to talk about it. They call a timeout. 4:37 to go before halftime. 18 to nothing. Shelton with the lead. Overton scratching their heads and trying to come up with a strategy. We'll see what they have in store when we come back after this.
Every 3 months or every 3,000 miles, that's the recommended time when your oil should be changed. Take your vehicle to the professionals at Killian Motors. Check the oil, check the filters, check the fluids. Killian Motors will do everything needed to make sure your car is ready to go, including factory replacement parts. For service after the sale, see Killian Motors, where people have come back time after time since 1979.
You're headed in the right direction for service, savings, and selection.
Athens Central, Kearney.
Well, Overton, as much as anything, trying to circle the wagons here a little bit, trying to figure out what they want to do. They've used a couple of timeouts so far here in the first half, and they've not been able to get a whole lot going. They did pick up a first down on this drive as Aiton had a nice little scramble, but again, the quarterback for the Eagles yet to complete a pass. And Shelton not being caught off guard at all on none of those passes being sent to the direction of Jacob Olmstead. Six, Pleasanton right now leading Amherst. Game being played in the northern regions of our listening area. And again, at halftime, it is Kearney Catholic trailing at home to the St. Cecilia Bluehawks. Here we got third and 10, stepping up. In under quarterback, change at quarterback, and the pass is intercepted. Intercepted. The pass by Cahoy is intercepted by Mitch Rosh. And the ball returned across midfield to about the 37-yard line. So the second turnover of the game as Aiton is pulled out and Cahoy with the interception. So again, Overton trying to figure out and get things going here. As a result, another turnover as the ball is already across midfield here for Shelton. Sandy Creek leading Superior 7-6. That game in a rain delay as well. A little ball fake here, and tucking it in under is Rosh. Rosh passes to the outside. There is nobody there. He is going to go 39 yards. Did he get the pylon or not? They're going to mark it. They're going to discuss it. I believe it's a touchdown. Yes, it is. He dove for the pylon, knocked it over. That'll be a 39-yard run and a 24-0 lead here for Shelton. Oh, my. Shelton right now having their way with Overton. Quick little ball fake, bounce to the outside, really almost a naked boot. And going the distance was the quarterback for the Shelton Bulldogs, and the Dogs want to call timeout. They want to talk about the two-point conversion here. They have not been able to cash in. They have scored four touchdowns, or more specifically, I should say, Mitch Rosh has scored four touchdowns, two on the ground, two with a touchdown pass, and now and also one touchdown reception. So all four scores here for Shelton coming from Rosh in one way or another. Obviously a team game, seven other guys have really helped out. And that play, well designed, the ball fake, and then the bootleg to the outside. And 39 yards later, it is a stunner, and that far sideline for Overton, it is awfully quiet over there. If there is one downside for Shelton so far here in the ballgame, has been their attempts for the conversions. They've had a couple of balls go through hands on passing attempts, and their two runs that they've tried, or their one run they've tried up to this point, has not gotten very close. So here they want to get at least one conversion along the way here, because, again, if Overton scores and converts, they only need three touchdowns and three conversions. So you're starting to fall behind in that sense if you don't get at least one conversion here. So Rosh will step in under center. I formation behind him. And they're going to roll to the right, throw it back in underneath, set up the screen, the catch, and diving in there just a little bit short. He got there maybe on the bounds, but it is just a little bit short there for Tucker Spellman. And the try for two, again, no good. So, again, after the touchdown, no conversion, and it's 24-0. Shelton with the lead over Overton. 4:22 to go here, and the Eagles will get their hands on the ball, and we come back in 30 seconds.
Dr. Daniel McClenahan, DDS, is your family dentist in Overton. Make an appointment for the whole family to get a checkup and cleaning. Taking good care of your smile is more than the look. It promotes overall health and good oral hygiene. Today means healthier, happier smiles tomorrow. Dr. McClenahan is very proud to support all of our area youth in and out of the games. Dr. McClenahan is keeping your smile healthy in Overton. Best of luck, Overton Eagles.
Teeing the ball up here for Shelton, and we're starting to learn this number pretty easily, Mueller, because he's both punting and kicking, and doing a nice job of both of them. We'll see if he punches it into the end zone again. A little bit lower kick. It's going to be picked up by Cahoy at about the 5-yard line. He'll get to the outside, has a little seam, comes up the middle, breaks one tackle, loses the football, and falling on it is going to be Overton. I believe Noah came out of there. And it is recovered by Overton. First one there for Overton was Justin Hodgson, and Hodgson couldn't quite pull it in. The freshman couldn't come up with it. Might have been able to get the ball back after he fell on it. He was the only guy around, and then bounced on it, couldn't come up with the ball, but I think pulled it back into his belly, I believe. So tragedy and emergency averted here for Overton, but they need to get something going offensively. Still have plenty of time. They only have one timeout left, but they have plenty of time here with 4:13 to go here before halftime, and they need to get something positive. They got a big old goose egg on that board. They're trailing it now 24-0, and Shelton, as much as anything, feeling their oats, and they've done a pretty good job defensively. So we'll see who comes in under quarterback. It will be Ayton. It was Cahoy on that last pass and the interception. So three turnovers here for Overton, and Ayton will run the option to their outside, and he'll bounce, come on off tackle, essentially, on that a little bit inside the end there, and tuck it in, get what they were giving him, and that's a gain of about three. So gain of three on the play is all. Second and seven, and Ayton and the rest of the Overton offense going to hurry things up a little bit. They pitch to the outside. There is a flag on the play, and turning the corner is Lumen. And we'll see whether or not this one stands. That's usually where you see a hold called right at the line of scrimmage, and they are pointing to the direction of Overton. So a nice little gain there, but I think it's going to be negated. It's going to be actually a clip and not the hold. Well, that's even worse. 15-yard penalty from the spot. And they'll get the down over again. So it'll be second down, and we'll see exactly where they mark it from. but that's going to be a 15-yard penalty. So this is going to set up at least second and 20. And we'll see exactly where they mark it from. And they're going to bring the ball out to about the 22-yard line, and they have to get near midfield. So that's going to be about 18 yards. We'll call it second and 18 after the penalty. They're going to split one guy out wide to the right. That's going to be Lumen. Lumen now will come in motion. They'll hand him the football as he comes across, and he is knocked back in the backfield. The first one there for Shelton was Nathan Wilson, and Wilson stood him up, spun him around, couldn't make the tackle, but he fell down, got back on his feet, and then finished it off, and that's going to be a loss of about two on the play. So Illumit lost about two on the play. And so the ball spotted right at the 20-yard line. And they got to get near midfield. 3:05 to go here before halftime. I haven't finalized the numbers here, but they're not going to be very high here for the Eagles. Stepping back and throwing his eight, and he throws the ball deep. He's got Olmstead there, tipped around and incomplete. Olmstead had it on his hands and then had it knocked out of his hands by the defender. Nice job there by Thiefall tracking it down. And that's probably the best ball thrown so far, but it has the same result of most of the others. It is incomplete. Again, Overton as a team has not completed a pass to somebody wearing a white jersey. They've thrown one interception, and that's the only ball that's been caught by anybody after it's been thrown by an Eagle. And now set up now fourth and a mile, and in kick formation is going to be Aiden. Aiden standing at about the 5-yard line. Pretty good pressure coming. They stop, and they'll kick the ball deep. And with the ball is going to be Mueller. Mueller breaks one tackle, gets to the outside near midfield. He's going to be driven out of bounds and then let go after going out of bounds. Brandon Jarrett, pretty good special teams play there. And it's going to be near midfield. They're going to mark the ball about the 37-yard line, where it will be first and 10 here for the Bulldogs. So the Bulldogs still have two timeouts left with 2:41 to go. And remember, in the high school game, you get a first down, they'll stop the clock to move the chains. And so there's plenty of time here for Shelton to add on to a 24-0 lead. They fumble the snap, going to hand the ball off. That throws off the timing of the play and running hard. But about everybody from Overton that got off the bus is able to make some contact with Luke Glenn. And Glenn fights and scraps as best he can after that play. Really, the timing was off because of the fumbled snap, and that's going to be a loss of about two on the play. Lammers Cahoy team up on the tackle, but really the timing there, just about everybody from Overton was in on the play. So second and 12, short of midfield, little cross-buck action, and going to the outside is going to be Glenn. And Glenn, that's the sister play from the one that worked as the bootleg touchdown. They actually handed it off instead of faking it as they did earlier, and it gains maybe about 1 yard on the play. So it's going to be third and 11. They've got to get down to the 31-yard line or so, and they've got the ball on the other side of midfield at about the 37-38. Minute 36 to go here before halftime. Rosh handoff right up the middle. Pretty good seam there, and good hard hit right up the middle. And the ball being carried there for Shelton by David Jimenez. Awfully fast kid, but about 110 pounds, and he's running basically right off tackle. He has a nice gain of about six on the play. So Jimenez gains about six, but it's still going to set up here fourth and about six. And again, they might be milking the clock here a little bit and going to call timeout at the very last moment. I think they got it figured out when they see the five-second count going on. Yeah, now they call timeout. They milked the clock there as best they could. And the timeout here for Shelton with 49 seconds left. And I'm sure they're going to be punting the football. That was just, let's not rush anything. Let's make sure we got everything nice and organized. And let's milk as much clock as we can. Quick little timeout here for Shelton with 49 seconds to go before halftime. And again, they've really dominated every aspect of the game. They've got an edge certainly in the kicking game. offensively, they move the ball a whole lot better than Overton. So as a result of that, they win both offensive side of the ball and defensive side of the ball. And right now, a 24-0 lead. Plus, throw in a couple of three turnovers here for Overton in the first half. And Overton, to a certain extent, has to be somewhat fortunate, feeling fortunate, that they have only they're only down by 24. In any event, they certainly are going to try to figure out how to make some changes and improve things here at halftime. A little bit of pressure coming here. Nope, they're going to make the return, and a high kick picked up about the 10-yard line. Dancing around a little bit. That is going to be Kahoy. Kahoy gets the corner, but there's some blue jerseys over there. They stand him up, breaks midfield, breaks another tackle, scoots through there, and he's going to go the distance. He gales all the way. That's going to be a return of 70 yards on the play, and just like that, the Eagles are on the board. And exactly what Shelton did not want to have happen there. It appeared that they had him kind of bunched up near midfield, but somehow Kahoy came out of it, and he returns it 70 yards for the score. 28 seconds to go before halftime, and it suddenly is 28-6. And again, if they get the two-point conversion here, you're talking about a two-possession game and obviously a lot of time left as we'll be heading toward halftime. So we'll see what happens here as the Eagles now will try to cut into the lead a little bit more. In under center is going to be Ayton. Ayton keeps the ball on the option, goes in for the two-point conversion. So exactly what Shelton did not want to have happen in the last 40 seconds has happened. A 70-yard punt return, a two-point conversion, and your score, 24-8. Shelton with the lead. Overton will kick off when we come back right after this.
Congratulations, you've won $1 million from Publishers.
Hey, Clark, move out of the way. Is that a Valentino's delivery truck going down the street? I didn't know they delivered. Hey, guys, Valentino's delivers.
It's the next best thing to enjoying Valentino's famous Grand Italian Buffet. Now delivery of pizza, pasta, and salads. Just a call away, 308-233-3888. That's 233-3888. Better than $1 million? Depends on how hungry you are.
Hey, didn't you hear me?
Valentino's of Kearney now delivers.
Well, again, those conversions we talked about a little bit earlier can come up and be a factor. Because Shelton has not converted on any of their touchdowns, This is a two-possession game. Now, granted, Overton's got to first of all get the two touchdowns and then get the extra points, and we'll see what happens from here on out. Shelton, obviously, if you told them at halftime, we're going to give you a 24-8 lead at the break, they would take it. But right now, momentum may very well be with Overton. In any event, kicking it off here for Overton is going to be Olmstead. And Jacob Olmstead has wideouts on either side of him. They'll kind of come in motion here. And Olmstead, short little kick, and it's actually going to go out of bounds. That's going to be a legal procedure. And no time will go off the clock in fairly good field position here for Shelton. I think they can take the ball right there. And as the ball goes out of bounds at about the 27-yard line, they're explaining the options with the Shelton coaching staff. Well, we're talking to Mike Lowe. You talk to the boss. And Lowe will talk about what they want to do here. I think he's going to want the football. And that's exactly what's going to happen. Ball at about the 28-yard line. Take the ball there. So first and 10, they'll basically decline the penalty as the ball went out of bounds. And they'll just take it from where it went out of bounds. 28 seconds to go here. A couple of timeouts here for the Bulldogs if they want to. They might just kneel on it and just make sure that nothing bad happens. We'll see. They got a bunch to the right. Fumbled snap. And then just kind of lunging forward is going to be Rosh. And Rosh might get back to the line of scrimmage. And I would not be at all surprised to see the Bulldogs running to one end of the field here and talking about things at halftime and just will head to the locker room. They are not in a big hurry to get anything done. In fact, they're going to need a quarterback. The quarterback's walking off the field. And so that's going to do it. 6 seconds, now five. They're just going to let the clock expire here and head to the locker rooms. It is 24-8. Shelton with the lead over Overton. Overton with a late touchdown with a little bit of momentum, but a 16-point lead for the Shelton Bulldogs. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll start totaling up the numbers, take a look at some scores for you from around the area. We'll be back with the Ravenna Sanitation Halftime Report right after this.
No matter where you are, even out in this cornfield, when you work with CHS, you're connected. Connected to global grain buyers and food companies. Connected to dependable energy at the pump, at home, and on the job. Connected to food ingredients tailored to your specific needs. Whether it's in energy, grains, or foods, you're connected. CHS, resources for enriching lives.
Insure your home, auto, life, and business with us through Auto Owners Insurance. When you need an insurance agency that you can trust, call RAI of Nebraska in Shelton. Get the best coverage possible to protect what needs protected in your life. Not just your insurance agent, your friend. They'll provide low-cost, quality protection and claim service that is second to none. Best of luck to all the area teams from RAI in Shelton.
And welcome back here to Shelton. We're at halftime as the Shelton dance team is performing here at the break. A 24-8 lead for the Shelton Bulldogs. You're listening to the Ravenna Sanitation Halftime Report. Ravenna Sanitation says, your trash is our treasure. Serving Buffalo County for business or residential service, Ravenna Sanitation is your trash collection connection. Find us in your local Yellow Pages. And I suppose if you're reading the story tomorrow in the newspaper about this game, you're going to hear the name of Mitch Rosch quite a bit talking about the first half. He had a hand in every single score for Shelton in the ball game. After they punted on their first possession, they got the short field, and then it was Mitch Rosch able to make the connection as quarterback, throwing the ball 21 yards. Nice little jump off in underneath, and really Dylan Feifault did most of the work, honestly, on the 21-yard catch and throw, and he got in for the touchdown, but the two-point conversion was no good, and it was 6-0 fairly early on in the ball game. Next possession, they got the short field again, and this time it was Rosch keeping the ball himself on an 8-yard run. That made it 12-0 in the first quarter, and they weren't done yet. A little trickeration in the second quarter as Luke Glenn, with a little halfback pass, throwing it back to the quarterback, and Rosch caught it, was able to pick up a nice block downfield. He goes in from 15 yards out on the reception, and he led Shelton to an 18-0 lead, and they were not done yet. After the interception, Rosch got the ball at midfield, a little bootleg, nice ball fake, and then the bootleg to the outside. Rosch went in from 39 yards out. Again, the conversions on all the touchdowns were no good, so four touchdowns, but no conversions, and it was 24-0. And then late in the second quarter, after a timeout, because they didn't want to rush everything, it was Shelton having to punt the ball to Overton and Cahoy for the Overton Eagles. Picked up a couple of blocks, and Hayden Cahoy just kind of slipped through the herd that met at midfield, and he takes the ball 70 yards on the punt return. Two-point conversion was good, and that'll get you to our halftime score. It is 24-0. Shelton with the lead over Overton here on the Ravenna Sanitation Halftime Report. Again, this game, one of the other elements to the game, a little bit of a delay of about 25 minutes, almost a half hour because of a lightning delay, really only about one bolt of lightning in the area, but the officials follow in protocol, and They have to wait a half hour from that point. And, again, there was about 10 minutes left to go on the clock or so. So the game started about 25 minutes later than what they originally had planned on because of the lightning delay. And, again, that first possession, both teams kicked the ball in their first possessions, but kind of trading punts, Shelton with the benefit there, and as a result got fairly good field position. And that's when they kind of started things in that first quarter, and they used that first quarter momentum to build themselves first an 18-point lead, and now that lead has been cut down a little bit, down to 16 points as it's 24-8 here at halftime. Other scores for you, McCook and Aurora are tied at 7. They're in the third. Crete leads Scott 17-6. That game also in the third, and hit the wrong button, so other scores for you. Halftime, it's Pleasanton leading Amherst 38-0, I believe it is, at intermission. And I believe I have one other batch of scores that I can kind of show you here. Check that. It's 38-6. Amherst has six here at intermission. And as we mentioned, McCook and Aurora tie things. High Plains over Kennesaw, 36-0.
Wow.
Kennesaw, we figured probably would be a little bit stronger than that, but right now High Plains over Kennesaw, 36-0 in that game. And we'll check other scores for you after we get done taking a quick little break. We're going to take a break. We're going to try to total up some numbers here, as Shelton definitely going to have the advantage over Overton, as they have the advantage on the scoreboard as well. They lead it 24-8 here at intermission. Overton yet to complete a pass to a member of their own team. They have one interception to go with a couple other fumbles. They've turned the ball over three times here at intermission. That'll be the one number for Overton. That'll be higher than the numbers for Shelton. As the Bulldogs lead this one 24-8 at intermission, we'll total up some numbers for you. We'll do that when we continue with the Ravenna Sanitation Halftime Report right after this.
LaserTech has been putting the surf back in service for over 17 years. LaserTech can help you with all your printer needs. New and reconditioned units, multifunction units, and fax machines, or cartridges and accessories for an existing printer. LaserTech technicians are dispatched quickly, utilizing the latest technology, giving you same-day, next-day service. With LaserTech, trouble-free solutions are only a phone call away. Know how to find the right solution for your business. The solution is how LaserTech is helping businesses, doing what can be done every day.
Time for the Midway Chevy Buick Cadillac's model year-end closeout. During Midway's year-end closeout, we're joining savings with the Chevy model year-end wrap-up to offer even more. With 0% financing for up to 60 months or up to $8,000 off, plus 3.9% financing on new 2011 Chevy Silverados. For Midway Chevy Buick Cadillac on 2nd Avenue East in Kearney, or online at thinkmidway.com. Think hassle-free. Think Midway. On select models, 0% in lieu of cash back with approved credit. See dealer for details.
High school football action is on Platte River Radio. Have a score from another area game? Let us know. Leave a voicemail at 308-646-0506.
And welcome back here to Shelton, as the Overton Eagles on the road trailing the Shelton Bulldogs, the Dogs with a 24-8 lead here at intermission, and still trying to put some finishing touches on Overton's numbers here, as they've got 9 yards there, another 9 over there, and 11 here. It's not going to take too long to add up the numbers here for Overton. So let's give you Overton's numbers here. First of all, Andrew Illumin has carried the ball 5 times for 9 yards here in the first half. Trey Corburn has 3 carries also for 9 yards. Matt Ayton has carried the ball 3 times and has 14 yards here in the game, but he also has turned the ball over on the ground with a fumble. So that'll be 32 yards, make that 34 yards on the ground, because Hayden Cahoy has carried the ball 1 time for 2 yards. So, yeah, 34 yards here of rushing for Overton in the first half, and they have yet to complete a pass. They are officially 0-for-10 throwing the football, but they also have one interception in those numbers as well. It's actually Cahoy who threw one pass and was intercepted. Ayton is 0-for-9 throwing the football. Now for Shelton, they've carried the ball 26 times for 107 yards total in the game. Mitch Rosh leading the way. He has carried the ball 9 times for 72 yards. That's an average of 8 yards a carry. He has an 8-yard touchdown and a 39-yard touchdown in those numbers. And Rosh, as we mentioned, has carried the ball 9 times for 72 yards. Tucker Spellman with 2 carries has 1 yard. Luke Glenn has carried the ball 13 times for 27 yards, 2 yards a carry for him. Also, a couple of assorted carries for a couple of other Bulldogs. David Mueller has carried the ball 1 time for 1 yard, and little David Jimenez has carried the ball 1 time for 6 yards, a quick little hitter right up the middle. So as a team, 26 carries for Shelton for 107 yards. They also have a couple of big plays as well, including a 21-yard touchdown pass. They have a total of 25 yards passing. They've only thrown the ball 4 times. They're 2 of 4 in the air for 25 yards and a touchdown. And so for Shelton, total for them, they would have 132 yards of total offense. They did have a short field for much of the first quarter, and as a result of that, that's kind of when they ran up the score a little bit when they had that short field and also throw in another long 39-yard touchdown run, and they led at one point 24-0. And in fact, it was looked like a shutout heading into halftime until Kahoy was able to take the punt, and Hayden McCoy went 70 yards on the return. He was met by a pretty good crowd right at midfield and somehow slipped through it, and he goes in from 70 yards out. Two-point conversion is good, and it is 24-8. So the return yards are actually fairly good for Overton, even though Shelton has tried desperately to kick the ball into the end zone or kick the ball out of bounds. And really the one time they don't do that, it is a big play for Overton that has really gotten them right back into this ball game. They still trail it by at least two touchdowns as they trail it by 16, 24-8 here at intermission. Some other scores for you as we take a look at some other numbers. It's Creek Valley with a 61-0 lead over Sargent midway through the third. Running clock there, obviously. Giltner over Hampton in the second, 36-0. Kearney High right now in a game that started a little bit after 8 o'clock. They have a 3-0 lead over Lincoln East in the first. There is a weather delay there as well. And as we mentioned, they did have a weather delay here. That game in Lincoln was scheduled to start after 8 o'clock anyway. And so that's just going to make a little bit longer trip back home for the Bearcats later tonight. So we'll get some other scores updates for you kind of as we go. And again, here at halftime, a 24-8 lead. Shelton with the advantage over Overton. We'll take another break as they're going to put a little bit more time back on the clock. Let everybody kind of stretch out because Overton just coming back onto the field. They spent a little bit more time in the halftime, and I'm sure that their new head coach, Paul Heisenfeld, was trying to get their attention here at intermission. We'll see how that works out for the Eagles as well as the Shelton Bulldogs, who lead it 24-8 at the break. We'll take a break. We'll be right back right after this.
Honey, hurry. We need to finish loading up the trash. The dump closes in 30 minutes.
Don't let trash take up time in your busy schedule. Let Ravenna Sanitation take care of all your trash needs. At Ravenna Sanitation, they take trash seriously. They're there to be your trash collection connection. If you need trash removal from your home, business, or farm, Ravenna Sanitation is the quality, dependable trash hauling service that you've been looking for. Ravenna Sanitation, serving all of Buffalo County.
Larry's Market in Shelton provides you with fresh foods right in your own hometown. Check out the fresh produce and meats. With weekly specials, you will save even more by shopping local. Don't forget, Larry's has movie rentals, party supplies such as balloons, deli trays, and deli sandwiches. Everything you need in Shelton. Why shop anywhere but Larry's Market in Shelton? Best of luck, Bulldogs.
And we do have an update for you on a game being played in our sister station on the ESPN Superstation in Central Nebraska, 1460 in Kearney and 1550 in Hastings. And it is Kearney Catholic leading the top-ranked team in Class C2. It is Kearney Catholic 14, St. Cecilia 10, as there's about 8 minutes to go in the third quarter. So the Stars hanging right with a top-ranked team in the state. A lot of people thought Kearney Catholic, top-10 caliber team, but just a monster schedule to start the season. They've got St. Cecilia, they got Cambridge, they got North Platte St. Pat's, and I'll have them within the first 3 weeks. All those teams rated as high as, well, number one through about number five, maybe number seven, depending on what service you want to look at. In any event, right now, Kearney Catholic hanging right with St. Cecilia. Good matchup going on there on our sister station on the ESPN Superstation in Central Nebraska. And here we got a pretty good one brewing as well, as that touchdown late in the second quarter does breathe a little bit of life right back into Overton, as it's 24-8 here at intermission. Other games for you tonight. Sutton is at Blue Hill. That game is on our sister station, The Breeze, KLIQ 94.5. And tomorrow, maybe you've heard of this, but there's going to be a little college football game played on The Breeze tomorrow as well. Kickoff will be about 2:30 for Tennessee Chattanooga at Nebraska. Pregame will start 9:30 tomorrow morning. That's a pretty good matchup here. Next week, right here on Classic Hits 98.9 FM, it's going to be a Class A showdown, always a Donnybrook, always a battle between Grand Island Senior High. They'll be traveling to Kearney to take on the Bearcats. That game will be right here on Classic Hits 98.9 FM, and next week on the ESPN Superstation, at least on AM 1460, it'll be St. Pat's at Kearney Catholic. And again, Kearney Catholic right now is leading against St. Cecilia 14-10. Well, we're just about ready to go as Overton kicked off to start the game, and now Shelton will kick off to start the second half. And so for the Bulldogs, teeing up the ball is going to be David Mueller. And back deep is going to be Olmstead, and I believe that's also Cahoy. Can't really see the number from this vantage point. In any event, the foot is into the ball. It is going to be Olmstead picking it up off the bounce at about the five-yard line. He'll take it off to the right. Little stutter step. Bounces now to the outside. There's a flag thrown at the point of attack there as he goes out of bounds. He's short of the 20-yard line. There is a flag thrown at about the 18, 19-yard line. And that's usually almost indubitably going to be some sort of infraction on the receiving team. And now drop them back half the distance to the goal. And they are talking to the team captains for Shelton, and that is going to be a hold. That'll be half the distance. So, again, not bad field position until you factor in another penalty, which I believe this is the third or fourth penalty that's been whistled on the Eagles here so far in the ballgame. And, again, Cahoy's heroics at the end of the second quarter has kind of propelled them right back into this game, but they make mistakes. They cannot afford to make too many more mistakes just like that one there. So they'll go out of the I formation here, and Aiton's going to pitch the ball back. And bouncing to the outside, not a whole lot of room to run over there for Andrew Illumin. And Illumin is going to be knocked out of bounds by Dylan Thiefault after a gain maybe of about four on the play. So gain of four, we'll call it. Set up now second and six. Now, nice thing about that hold on special teams, that does not make it first and 20. It just makes it first and 10. So now second and six after the gain of four, man in motion. And they're going to fake the handoff to him, come right off tackle on that right side. And pretty good surge there by the line for the Eagles. And they're going to get close to a first down. They're going to gain maybe about 4.5 yards on the play. It's going to set up now third and about one. So Colburn just right up the middle, gain of about four on the play. And again, pretty good line search. Give credit to that offensive line for the Overton Eagles. And it's probably Wilson who made the tackle here for Shelton. So short yardage here, hand off to the tailback, and stood up at the line of scrimmage. I don't know if he got it. Boy, they're going to stretch that out. That's going to be awfully close. As Shelton doing a pretty good job, and they will mark the ball right at the 20-yard line, and that is going to be enough for the first down. Milbach with the tackle after a gain of about two for Illumin. So just move the chains, baby. That's all you got to do, and keep moving them. And if that continues to happen here for the Eagles, boy, if they score on this drive, they will have the momentum, and that will just change the entire complexion of this game. Two tights. Running the option right up the middle, breaking one tackle, spinning to the outside. He's being rodeoed down there after a gain of a couple of yards. It's going to be Matt Aiton. And Aiton gains a couple, then drags the tackler for a couple, and you unstack it. That's going to be a gain of about five there. And again, right now, Overton looking like an entirely different team. So here we go, second and about five, and again, a little swagger in the step here for Overton as they're just running two tights, a little cross-buck action, and running hard is going to be big number 30, Trey Colburn, and Colburn churning those legs. I say big, he's just kind of thick. He's really not that heavy, not that tall, but he's built like a fire plug, and it's hard to move a fire plug. He gains about 2 yards on the play, and he'll set up now third and about long three, about 3.5 here. And, again, they break the huddle very quickly, and we have officials timeout as they're coming over to deal with some equipment issues here for Shelton. They're restrapping on the headgear of David Mueller, and so they stop the action for that. And, again, I think right now Overton wants to get the line of scrimmage quickly because they're just feeling good about themselves. Quick little pitch to the outside. It is strung out, and that is going to be short of the first down. Nice job for Shelton stringing that one out. That was Mueller who strings it out as Lumet carried the football. He might have actually lost a little bit of ground there. We'll call that a loss of about one on the play. And that now is going to set up a punting situation, I would think. It is fourth and about four. And dropping back in punt formation is going to be Matt Ayton. And Ayton will be in punt formation. Going back is going to be Mueller. So Ayton gets the snap, throws the ball high in the air, kicks it, ends up being an end-over-end kick. Catching the ball and then dropping it is going to be Mueller. And Mueller, by the time he picks up the ball and picks up the guy flying down there, can't quite avoid Ethan Unix as he will make the tackle at about the 25-yard line. So it'll be first and 10 from the 25 here for Shelton. They lead it 24-8, 8:28 to go here in the third quarter. And again, not overly surprised Shelton has the lead, but at one point they led by 24 points. And again, Overton, a play or two away from getting back in this game, but conversely, Shelton probably a play or two away from really kind of icing this one. They run a little cross buck to the outside and a little bit of daylight there, but it closes very quickly for Glenn, and Glenn spins out of one tackle and moves the pile forward, and he's going to gain about 7 on the play. He looked like maybe he was a step away. He was ridden out over there. I think Olmstead had an arm on him to slow him down, but Olmstead couldn't quite wrap him up. It's a gain of about 7. And now Glenn with 34 yards on the ground here in the game. Now set up now 2nd and 3. And again, if Shelton can assert themselves here in the early stages of the third quarter, they might be able to throw the knockout punch. They pitch it back to Glenn. Glenn back up the middle. Bounces to the outside. Has a seam. He's at the 30. He's at the 20. He's at the 10. He outlines everybody for the touchdown. A 47-yard run for Glenn. And just like that, it is 30-8. And how do you do? Just as we were talking about, a nice little run there. I believe that's 47 yards on the carry. He goes in for the touchdown. Second run of about 40 yards or more for one of the Bulldogs. And somebody other than the quarterback now has scored. They're going to go for two here, take the pitch, and looking to throw it in underneath a little screen. Going in for the two-point conversion. It's Tucker Spellman. And 8 points there now makes your score 32-8. And now a 24-point lead once again here for the Shelton Bulldogs. They have reestablished the momentum. They've reestablished dominance in the game. 7:46 to go. There is a flag on the play. I believe it's on Overton. Yes, it is. We'll unstack that, and we'll have a kickoff. We come back right after this.
September is grand reopening month at Builders in Kearney. The remodeling is done inside and out, and Builders has added thousands of new items. Register from the 17th through the 24th for some fabulous prizes to be given away September 24th at 4 p.m. Must be present to win. $1,000 gift card, $500 gift card, Traeger grill, tools, and more. Visit BuildersNE.com for information on free clinics, including fast fix-up tips for your home. Builders does a grand reopening best this September at Builders in Kearney.
Builders does it best.
Well, now it's a three-possession game once again, and it will be a penalty on Overton. I believe an unsportsmanlike conduct penalty. Yeah, it's 15 yards, a little blow to the head. And so kicking off from the 35-yard line, kicking off in Eagle territory is going to be Shelton. And we'll see if they just punch the ball in the end zone or, you know, try an onside kick here. You know, you're probably not going to have bad field position if you try that. So I wouldn't be surprised to see them. Yeah, and right now Overton's recognizing that. So we'll see what they decide to do. And they're going to just kick the ball through the uprights almost. Nope, just a little wide left. They're just going to punch it in, not doing anything cute with it. You know, even when you try that onside kick, I mean, sometimes, it doesn't happen very often, sometimes that'll just jump right up and bite you right in the keister. I mean, you try that, it gets a funny bounce. Next thing you know, somebody can return that. And right now, I think instead of trying to make that big play, they want to make sure that Overton does not make the big play. So I would agree with that, even though you're tempted to try that onside kick in that situation. 7:46 to go here, third quarter. It is 32-8. and in a little bit of trouble is Ayton at quarterback. He's going to have to drop back and throw. He ball fakes, throws it to the outside, and is it caught? Yes, it is. First reception of the game for somebody from Overton. It is going to be caught on the sideline. Ethan Unox is able to make the catch, and that is going to be a gain all the way out to about the 26-yard line. That's going to be a gain of about 11. So 11th pass of the game here for Overton is their first reception. They've thrown the ball 11 times, and now they have 11 yards and have given up one interception. In any event, that moves the chains and going out of bounds. So the clock stop was 7:40 to go here in the third quarter. We have to start talking about time already because Overton needs to score at least three times. That is if they convert on every one. Rolling out to the right is going to be Ayton. Ayton's going to tuck it up, breaks one tackle, and slips to the outside near midfield. He's going to be a little bit short of it as he's going to be out of bounds at about the 39-yard line. So that's going to be a gain of about 13 yards there by Ayton as he does a nice job of just recognizing what's going on out there and has a nice little 13-yard gain. So two plays, gain of about 24 yards. So now Overton is moving the ball there near midfield after only two plays. And Ayton is going to step in under quarterback. He has trips to his left, and he's going to drop back the throw. A little bit of pressure, steps up, throws in underneath. It is tipped and incomplete. There is a flag in the defensive backfield, and usually that spells disaster for the defense. And we'll see what the call here is. It is pass interference, and it is going to go against Shelton. So that'll be 15 yards and another first down. So 15-yard penalty, 11-yard reception, 13-yard run, and bang, 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 right? Just like that, Overton has already amassed about three times as much offense as they've had the entire ball game on this possession. They're going to mark the ball about the 27-yard line. First and 10 from the 27 here for the Overton Eagles. And again, they've been doing much of this in the air. Ayton under center is going to drop back. Steps up, throws. It's going to be caught on that outside and forced out of bounds after a nice little reception there by Andrew Alumet. And it knocked out of bounds by both Mitch Rosh and Dylan Thiefault. And that is going to be a gain right of about 12 yards. So two receptions on this drive, both of them double-digit in terms of yards gained. And I think Shelton might be calling timeout. Yes, they are. They want to circle the wagons here just a little bit. Kind of like when the basketball team's starting to make a run, the head basketball coach will call timeout to slow down the momentum. I think that's exactly what Shelton head coach Mike Lowe is doing here in a football game. He calls the timeout with 7:20 to go here in the third quarter. 32-8. Shelton with the lead, but Overton's driving. We're back after this.
This broadcast is proudly sponsored in part by Clipper Publishing. Remember to read about this game and all high school sports action in the next issue of the Shelton Clipper, the Wood River Sunbeam, and the Gibbon Reporter. Clipper Publishing is keeping you up to date on all the latest news and sports every day all over central Nebraska. They are a very proud sponsor of all area athletes in the game. Best of luck from everyone at Clipper Publishing.
And welcome back here to Shelton as right now the Bulldogs trying to circle the wagons a little bit, trying to stop the momentum and a little bit of momentum being built over in Kearney as well by the Blue Hawks of St. Cecilia. They have scored just a little bit ago. They lead now Kearney Catholic 17-14 as that game is, close to making that transition from the third to the fourth quarter here. First and 10 for the Eagles. Dropping back to pass is going to be Ayton. Ayton will scramble, bounce to the outside, spin, break one tackle, be pulled down at about the 10-yard line. Nice little decision there by Ayton. Rolled out, looked like he was going to throw him. It almost looked like a design quarterback draw. In any event, he is knocked down at about the 10-yard line. So that's going to be a gain of about six on the play. That has been their least productive play on this entire drive, and it's still a nice little 6-yard gain, and it's going to set up now second and about four. Ayton will go in under center, and he'll pitch the ball back to his tailback, dumping in underneath his lumen. He's going to be pulled down right at the 10, and so that's only going to be a gain of about a yard or so. Nice job there by the Shelton defensive line leading the way, Lance Lyons. He came up there and made the tackle at about the 10-yard line. So the next two plays is going to be huge here, and Shelton obviously wants to stop them the next two plays. And Overton, well, they don't even want to get the fourth down here. They got it now third and a long three, probably closer to four here, as Aiton will step in under center. They need to get close to the 5-yard line, about the six. Aiton's going to roll out to his right, and he'll throw the ball into the end zone. Caught for the touchdown! Olmstead with the reception, but there is a flag on the play, and it's going to be roughing the passer. It's roughing the passer on Shelton. And so here's some options for you if you're Overton. I think you can put it on the two-point conversion, I believe. I'm not 100% sure there. And that would obviously make it from the yard-and-a-half line. In any event, the touchdown will stay on the board. The other option, I believe, would be that they could put it on the kickoff if they wanted to. In any event, a touchdown here for Overton. That'll be a 10-yard reception by Olmstead. And the first time he's really been able to, well, get on the stat sheet. He's had some tackles, but offensively, his first time on the stat sheet. So here we go, trying the two-point conversion, and they're going to try it on a kickoff. So this will be from the 3-yard line. And in at quarterback is going to be Cahoy. And Cahoy scrambles around, tries to dive in underneath. He is short of the goal line. So the try for two is no good. We do have an Eagle, a Bulldog rather, shook up on the field. And we're going to check his number for you and reset things for you. Let's take a look at the scoreboard, though, right now. 32-14. That's the lead for Shelton. We're going to take a quick break, just a cramp, and we'll check who's cramping up and have a kickoff. And we come back right after this.
Insure your home, auto, life, and business with us through Auto Owners Insurance. When you need an insurance agency that you can trust, call RAI of Nebraska in Shelton. Get the best coverage possible to protect what needs protected in your life. Not just your insurance agent, your friend. They'll provide low-cost, quality protection and claims service that is second to none. Best of luck to all the area teams from RAI in Shelton.
I have always said that I'm a Nebraska Farm Bureau member because it gives me, as a farmer, a voice in the legislature and in Washington, D.C. But did you know what your Buffalo County Farm Bureau does for you in your own backyard? By giving scholarships to local kids, supporting the Buffalo County Fair and 4-H programs, or tackling zoning concerns and other local issues. Farm Bureau starts right here. That's why I'm a proud Farm Bureau member.
Call Buffalo County Farm Bureau and rediscover your grassroots power.
Well, this is the Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center Injury Report for Shelton. A little cramp, and they're escorting off Zach Oliver off the field. He is being helped by the training staff, and he's walking very gingerly. It looks like he's cramped up, so we'll see whether or not he can get back into the game here. So he'll come off the field. When you're injured, Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center will get you back into the game of life with locations in Kearney, Ravenna, Minden, Elm Creek, Franklin, Lexington, and now Wood River. There's one near you. Tell your doctor you want it, Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, to rehab you back into the game of life. Deep kickoff. They're going to put it about the 1-yard line as they kicked off 15 yards deeper, and no room to run there for Shelton. They're going to be pinned down to about the 5-yard line. That could not have worked out a whole lot better if you are Overton, because a high kick, short, and not much room to run there at all. And again, for Shelton, on the return was David Mueller. Almost hard to see Mueller's number, because by the time he caught the ball, there was just such a crowd there because they kicked off from about the 35-yard line. So again, the ball is inside the 5-yard line, and the worm has turned a little bit in terms of the field position here. We'll see what Shelton can do here. Pinned near their own goal line, and they have a penalty, I believe, that's going to be on the offense. They threw the flag on the snap, and it's going to be marked offsides against Shelton. So they're going to be half the distance to the goal. Now it's going to be first and about 13 as they'll go half the distance. Well, we'll call it 12 because they actually were inside the 5. So they're going to be backing up about 2 yards is all, but they're about the 2-yard line. So they're at the shadow of their own goal line. I'm probably not going to take a whole lot of risks here. Rosh will go in under center. He's going to throw, lob the ball to the outside, a little screen. Nice little catch on that right side. And Glenn makes the catch, and that's a nice little gain. He's going to be close to the first down, Let's see where they mark it. That's gain of right about 10. So he's about 2 yards short. Almost forgot about that two-yard penalty. In any event, another 10-yard gain there in the passing game. And it'll be now second and a long two. Fairly safe play there. Even though the ball was, quarterback was standing in the end zone, a little bit of pressure coming here, but Ross handles that very, very well. So second and about two, and he'll keep it, tuck it to the outside. He has enough for the first down. He's going to be pulled down after gains about 3 yards or so. Hole closed very, very quickly on him. Tackle being led for Overton by Trey Colburn. And that's going to be a nice little gain. Ayton also in on the tackle. But about a 3.5-yard gain here for the Shelton quarterback, Mitch Rosh. Gain of about 3. But more importantly, first and 10. And I think the center may have snapped the ball a little late because both tailbacks, both running backs were already moving before the ball was snapped. That'll be a 5-yard penalty here on Shelton, a procedure penalty. Either one of them jumped off sides and the owner was pretty quick when they noticed it, or just something didn't look right there. In any event, it's a 5-yard penalty with 5:25 to go here, and they'll start the clock once again. 32-14, Shelton with the lead. Not only do they, more than anything else, they want to work some time off the clock. Not much room to run as they hand it off to the tailback, and not a whole lot of space to go. And again, Glenn's got nowhere to go, and that's a whole bunch of nothing. That'll be an official carry, but absolutely no yards on that one. By the way, for Shelton, Zach Oliver is stretched out a little bit on the sideline, got a drink of water, and he's got his helmet on and saying, put me in, coach. So he'll be back out there here momentarily. Rashi in under center and another flag. Shelton did a good job of not having too many flags at all in the first half. I think they only had 1 5-yard penalty in the first half, but they keep shooting themselves in the foot on this drive. This is their third penalty of the drive. So they're backing up here. And it's going to be second and close to 20 here. They've got to get all the way to the 27-yard line, and they're about the 7 here, about the 8. So it'll be 19 yards or so to go here. Rosh in under center. Throws it to the right side. A little pass and catch there. And being knocked out of bounds after nice little reception for Shelton there is going to be Tucker Spellman. And Spellman is going to be knocked out of bounds, intruded rather rudely by Brett Area, who's there on the coverage. And that's going to be a gain of about 6 or so on the play. Well, we'll call it closer to 7. So it's going to be third and about 12 here. Again, you don't try to get it all. You try to get about half of it. And they're a little short of half on that reception, but they got enough here to make this doable. Unfortunately, he did go out of bounds, so the clock stops. And Shelton would like that clock to keep running. Rosh takes the snap. He's going to throw the ball deep. As a man well covered over there, and there are all sorts of flags fighting for the football, and getting the pass interference call is going to be Shelton. They go out there, and they earn the pass interference call by fighting to get back to the football. The offensive player came back for the ball. That was Glenn, and the defender did not. So about 3 officials threw their flag all at the same time or all at the same place, and that'll be first and 10 here for Shelton, and that was a ball that was underthrown, maybe even by design. And the offensive player came back for it and did get the pass interference call. I don't want to sit here and say that's a break for Shelton because they earned it. I mean, if that was by design, and I wouldn't be overly surprised if it was, you come back for the ball in that situation, 9 times out of 10, that defensive player is going to commit the infraction, and it clearly was a pass interference. So after 3 penalties on Shelton in this drive, now a big one against Overton. It'll be first and 10, and a quick little crossback. Glenn has it on that far side, breaks 1 tackle, almost slipped out of there, but he's going to off tackle on the left side, gain maybe about 3 when the rest of the defense shows up here for Overton. So Glenn, gain of 3, probably a step away from a much bigger play, but you can say that in a lot of plays in high school football. Exeter with a 30-0 lead over Deschler. That is a final, rather. It is not a lead. That is the final score. And again, the Friday Night Scoreboard Show, brought to you by Five Points Bank, coming up at the conclusion of this one. A little cross-buck again, and the ball is handed off to Mueller, and Mueller gains maybe 2 yards. So he's got two carries for 3 yards, not much room to run there. Ball about the 35-yard line. They got to bring it across the 40. They need to gain about 5.5, 6 yards here. Clock running, 3:06, 3:05 to go. And again, if you're Shelton, you take a little bit of time off the clock. You can't really go in complete milk the clock mode, but there's less than 15 minutes to go in this game, and you lead it by 18. You lead it by over three scores. Pass knocked down. Olmstead coming up there right through the lane and is able to knock the ball pretty much right out of the hands of Mitch Rash as he was trying to make the pass on the screen. Those long arms paying some dividends here for Overton. Stopping the clock, forcing fourth down, and getting the ball back here. So again, for Shelton, kicking the ball away is going to be David Mueller. Mueller, high snap, handles it very well, not much pressure. High, high kick at about the 10-yard line. And coming up with it is going to be Cahoy. Cahoy dances around, breaks one tackle, bounces to the outside, has a little bit of a seam, nice little block on that far sideline, and he's going to be pulled down right at midfield. And again, Cahoy made one guy miss, picked up the block, and the next thing you know, it is first and 10 from near midfield. And again, probably about one guy away. You get Cahoy in space. He has already returned one punt back for a touchdown. That's a nice little return of about 30 yards as well. So he's got over 100 yards in return yards here in the game. And now it'll be first and 10. They're going to mark him about the 39-yard line. So first and 10, just short of midfield here for Overton. And again, they still have plenty of time, but they pretty much have to score on virtually every possession they have from this point on. And they've had some success here in the second half. Rolling out to his right is going to be Ayton. Ayton steps up, throws, and almost intercepted. Under throwing it a little bit, and Rosh was there with a diving attempt. That would have been a circus catch had he made it. But he gave it everything he had on that far sideline and off of his hands and incomplete. So after completing three straight passes, Overton back to that streak where they are incomplete again. Their first 11 attempts were incomplete or intercepted. And then they completed three on their last drive, and that's really what they want to see here. Olmstead split out wide on this near side, and Ayton is going to step back. He is going to throw the ball deep, deep, deep. It's a jump ball and incomplete. It is going to be incomplete. A battle of the 28s over there as Overton sent deep, and I said it was Olmstead. It wasn't 88. It was 28. Andrew Illumit. And he was in hand-to-hand combat with David Mueller there, and Mueller was able to knock the ball away, so it is incomplete. And again, down by 18, so you're down by three scores. And I misspoke earlier. I made it sound like it was four. They're down by three scores. Even if they get two touchdowns and two-point conversions, they still be a little short here. So it's a three-score game. Clock stopped with 2:18 to go here in quarter number three. A little bit later coverage in this game because of a lightning delay that prevented the kickoff. Pass to the right side. It is going to be complete. Gain of about five on the play on that far sideline. And out of bounds, stopping the clock. It is Illumin who makes that catch on that far sideline after a gain of about five, and he goes out of bounds. But it does stop the clock. And it will make it, well, it's going to be a little bit more than five, about 5.5, close to 6 yards here. And if you're Overton, I think you got to go for it. 2:11 to go. Clock stopped here in the third quarter. Trailing it 32-14. Overton near midfield will break the huddle, calling out the signal. One back in the backfield. Ayton's going to roll. A little bit of pressure coming. Good contain by the defense. He'll dance around, and he actually steps out of bounds. Late whistle, but he steps out of bounds, and the defense will hold. A turnover on downs, and great defense in terms of contain there as they scrambled and rolled out with the quarterback. He was looking to throw the ball deep. He was looking to tuck it, kind of a run-pass option. And Ayton actually lost about 1 yard on the play, and there was about four or five guys wearing blue jerseys who did their defensive job absolutely perfectly to a T. So a short little loss on the play for Overton, and it is fourth down. And so now near midfield, they turn it over on downs, and near midfield, Shelton with an opportunity, milk the clock and throw a knockout punch. A little miscommunication. Quarterback's going to have to keep it and just kind of get what he can out of it. It looks to me like Mitch Rash wanted to hand the ball off to his tailback, and his tailback zigged when he thought he was going to zag. And it's going to be a gain maybe of about two. Tip your hat to that offensive line here for Shelton, because they had enough penetration that they still gained about 2 yards on the play. And again, if you lose that battle, you got a quarterback looking to hand the ball, he's got his back to the defense, that's when turnovers can happen. But that offensive line did not let that happen. Gain of two on the play, and they'll hand the ball off to the tailback. And a little bit of a seam over there. I can't tell if that's Glenn over there. To me, it looked like it was somebody else. Might have been, yeah, it was Glenn. So it's going to be a nice little gain, maybe about six on the play there for Glenn. And that's going to set up, well, closer to seven. It's going to set up third and about two. And we'll call it a gain of six. And that would set up now third and a long yard and a half. 53 seconds left to go here in the third quarter when the Bulldogs break the huddle. Tight formation. Quarterback sneak right up the middle. A little bit of a seam. They got more than enough for the first down. Tip your hand, your hat to that offensive line for Shelton. They're able to slip through there, gain about 2.5 yards when I think it was pretty clear that they were going to sneak the ball, and Rosh was able to come through there, gain a good 2.5, we'll call it 3 yards. It'll be first and 10, and they will have to snap the ball one more time here in the third quarter. They'll start the clock with 38 seconds to go in the quarter, 25-second game clock from that point, so they will have to snap the ball here. Ball marked at about the 29-yard line. And they're going to have to hustle up there. They break the huddle with about 22 seconds left. They only have about five more seconds to snap the ball, and they will snap it. And no room to run. Wow, what a hit by Overton. Coming through there was J.D. Callahan. As Callahan shot the gap and just absolutely pasted Glenn, it's going to be a loss on the play of about 1 yard, and that'll be the final play of the third quarter. The Shelton Bulldogs have the football and a 32-14 lead as we'll start the fourth quarter right after this timeout.
Athletes come in all shapes and sizes, and Kearney Orthopedic and Sports Medicine specializes in getting them all back in their game. From swinging a hammer to swinging a golf club, whether tackling daily tasks or tackling the running back, see Kearney Orthopedic and Sports Medicine Clinic. If you're suffering from any injury that's putting you on the sidelines, make an appointment today and take comfort in our care. Kearney Orthopedic and Sports Medicine.
NewTek is proud to support high school sports. NewTek is known as the undisputed yield leader as a result of their excellent performance in university and first trials and in your fields. While winning isn't everything at the high school level, it sure makes things a lot more interesting. To put NewTek's winning genetics to work for you, contact Terry or Jason Stark at 750-6060 or visit NewTek at yieldleader.com.
NewTek Seed, the undisputed Midwest yield leader.
Welcome back here to Shelton. The Bulldogs with a 32-14 lead over the Overton Eagles. As, again, Shelton trying to make it to 2-0 on the season. They played last week, and maybe a little bit sharper as a result of it. Again, we heard from both coaches in our pregame about that, and both teams kind of felt that their schedule gave them an advantage for various reasons. But in any event now, after that nice defensive play by Callahan, it'll be 2nd and 11 here for Shelton. A little cross-buck action. Quarterback's going to keep it. Bouncing to the outside is going to be Rosh, and Rosh will tuck and go. And again, gain about 6 yards on the play. So that'll set up now 3rd and a good 5 or so. give you some score updates for you up in Pleasanton. The Bulldogs with a lead over Amherst of 44-12 as they're heading into the fourth quarter up there. And also, they're in the fourth quarter in Kearney, where St. Cecilia now with a 24-14 lead against Kearney Catholic. 24-14. Stars at one point led 14-10, but the last couple of scores for the Blue Hawks. Here on third down, little screen pass to the right side, and the catch, and slipping through the tackle. It's going to be a touchdown! A 25-yard little screen on the inside, and making the reception is Mueller, and Mueller goes in unmolested. They got all the motion to the left, threw the ball back to the right. Wow, what a great design on that play. He caught the ball just off the turf. And that'll be a nice little touchdown here for Shelton that might spell doom for the Overton Eagles. Eagles last year 11-1 on the season, and they might fall to 0-1 on this season. Two-point conversion coming up here. And the quick little pitch. No, they're going to fake it. Going to throw the ball in the end zone. Open, but through the hands and incomplete. Intended over here on the near side for Thiefold, and it is incomplete. So the score remains 38-14, a 24-point lead here for the Shelton Bulldogs. They'll be kicking it back to the Overton Eagles when we come back after this.
First State Bank in Shelton, helping with your financial future is what they do. First State Bank in Shelton can help you with home loans, personal loans, and business loans. They specialize in all areas of banking. Contact the First State Bank of Shelton today and ask about one of the many featured checking and savings accounts they offer. A proud sponsor of area sports, First State Bank in Shelton. Banking in the 21st century with your neighbors and friends. Member FDIC.
Overton Sand and Gravel is a proud supporter of this broadcast and all area high school teams in and out of the game this year. Call Overton Sand and Gravel for when you need it rocked. Overton Sand and Gravel is the only name you need to remember. They carry everything from crushed concrete to river rock, decorative rocks, and gravel for driveways. There's no job too big or small for Overton Sand and Gravel, commercial or residential, concrete, and other rock. Overton Sand and Gravel, serving Overton and surrounding areas.
Well, David Mueller has been busy kicking off, and he's busy scoring a touchdown just a little bit ago. That little throwback to the right side, he takes it in from 20 yards out. Now he'll kick it off, and the ball near the sideline hits the pylon and goes through the end zone. That is a touchback. When it hits the pylon, the only way it can hit the pylon is to cross the goal line to do it. So that was perfectly placed by Mueller. It's exactly what he wanted to do. Well, he wanted to kick the ball through the end zone, but at least he got the ball to the goal line. So no return there for the Overton Eagles. And so 11-12 to go here in the fourth quarter. And Overton's got to make a lot of hay, and they don't have much time to get it done. In under center, going to be Aiton for Overton, and again, I think you're probably going to see a fair number of passes. So, of course, they run the quick little pitch to the outside. And not much room to run over there. Well, it bounced back to the inside. I thought that play was dead. I was already starting to write down the numbers. And Trey Colburn, after the pile, never went down. The pile moved. And so he goes all the way from the 15. I gave up on the play, but he certainly didn't. He gained about 13 yards on the play. Well, I guess that just teaches me for broadcasting distracted. It's almost as bad as driving distracted. It'll be a nice little 13-yard gain, and now rolling out is going to be Aiton, and Aiton's going to be pushed out of bounds on that Shelton sideline by Lance Lyons. So across the 31-yard line, that'll be a gain of about 4 yards on the play. So second and 6 coming up here. And again, if you're Overton, you want to stop that clock as much as you can. Again, Aiton with a nice little 4-yard gain. He'll be in under center, one back in the backfield. There'll be a man in motion, and they're going to run the option. Pitches it, and it is on the ground. Ball loose, and finally coming up with it is going to be the pitch man, Andrew Illumin, and busting up the play. for Shelton. I think the first one there, Ullmitt was there, and so was Zach Oliver. And forced the fumble. That's going to be a loss on the play. It's going to go all the way back to the 20-yard line, and they got to get near midfield. So that's going to be about 18 yards or so. They got to get to the 38. So that's going to be third and about 16, 17 yards or so. So a loss of about seven. And I believe that loss of yards goes to the quarterback. So that's what I'm going to do. And if the stats are wrong, the stats are wrong. Dropping back is going to be Aiton. Aiton will scramble right through the middle, and there just really isn't anything going on there. He actually kind of shovel past it right up ahead, trying to just dump the ball off. And not much room at all there for Clyburn. So that's going to set up now fourth and long. 9.5 minutes to go here, and if you're Overton, it depends what you want to do here. I mean, if you punt, you're conceding. And if you don't punt, you run the risk of getting run out, the score run up on you here a little bit. Well, it's Aiton who, remember, is also the quarterback. He is in kick formation, and we've got a flag. And again, I don't know what that is. I don't think it's delay. It's illegal procedure. Not so sure that the Eagles had the right number of guys lined up on the line. And it looked like a little bit of confusion on what they wanted to do there. They're going to back up 5 yards, and that probably makes that decision a little bit easier. I don't know. It's not an easy decision because I think you're conceding if you punt, and I think they have to punt. Does not appear that this is going to be Overton's night, and Shelton will certainly do their best to milk the clock here a little bit. Aiton at the goal line gets the snap, steps in, gives a nice little boot. And picking up the football is going to be Mueller. Mueller breaks one tackle, bounces back to the inside, crosses across the field. He's got one guy to beat, trying to get an angle, has it at the 10, the 5, touchdown, Shelton Bulldogs! Just add that to one more Shelton highlight as they take the ball 47 yards for the touchdown on the kick. He went to his left, let traffic clear, ran completely parallel with the goal line, got an angle where he could pick up speed, and wow, what a return. By Mueller, a 48-yard return. So again, that just add one more way that Shelton scores here in the ballgame. A 48-yard return. So coming in is going to be Rosh again. And 44-14, a 30-point lead here with 8:42 to go. In under center, going to be Rosh. Rosh has time to throw, throws it in, and it is incomplete. Two-point conversion, no good. And it is 44-14. Shelton with a surprise. A lot of people thought they're kind of on that borderline to be in the top 10. Well, look for them in your rankings next week. They lead Overton by 30. 8:42 to go, fourth quarter. And Shelton will kick it away. We come back after this.
Family Physical Therapy knows everyone has an ow once in a while. You might sustain an injury during competition or strain your knee or back doing chores at home. Your job now is to come up with a story to tell your friends.
Yeah, I was kickboxing in Japan.
It's Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center's job to get you back to the game of life. There's one near you in Kearney, Ravenna, Minden, Elm Creek, Franklin, Lexington, and now Wood River. If you have an ow, tell your doctor you want Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center to rehab you back to the game of life.
Well, surprise, surprise, a 30-point lead here for Shelton. Again, we kind of thought this might be a tight ball game. We're not surprised Shelton has a lead. We're just surprised it's 30 points at this stage of the ball game. A little punch kick here a little bit, and Cahoy is dancing around a little bit. Traffic, kind of everything just kind of closes in on him, and he's just trying to find a little seam at about the 20-yard line, and that's where he's going to be ridden down and high-fiving and clapping and heading back to the sideline. Tucker Spellman, who helped lead the tackle. And again, you can just see Shelton right now beginning to believe in themselves. Obviously, they're going to win this football game, but they're beginning to believe in themselves for the rest of the season. This could be one of those wins that helps propel Shelton to a pretty good season. Don't want to jinx nothing or anything, but my goodness, this is an impressive lead here. They lead by 30 with 8.5 minutes to go. Aiden is going to step up. He's going to throw the ball deep, trying to get Olmstead, and overthrows Olmstead. Would have taken probably a perfect pass, as there was very good coverage there by Shelton's Dylan Thiefold, who was stride for stride with Jacob Olmstead. And again, probably would have taken an almost perfect throw there. Olmstead with a pretty good frame, pretty good target to aim at, and it's just overthrown a little bit, and it falls harmlessly to the turf here. Four receptions for Shelton and 18 passes. So 4 of 14 throwing as a team and one interception. Aiton at quarterback. He's going to pitch the ball back on that far side. Not much room to run there, but you unstack it. It's going to be a gain of about 4 on the play. As, again, right now, Shelton making some substitutions, not wholesale substitutions. You're seeing a lot of guys out there we haven't seen a whole lot here in the ball game up to this point. And that's going to be a gain of about 6 or so. And I think that was Aluman who had the carry on that quick little pitch. 3rd and 4. Less than 8 minutes to go here in the football game. A 30-point lead for the Shelton Bulldogs against the Overton Eagles. Quarterback's going to drop back to pass, and nice catch there by Olmstead. Olmstead, good hands. It was actually tipped right in front of him and still able to get those big paws on it. He makes the catch at about the 31-yard line. So that's going to be enough for the first down. Gain of about 7 on the play. And 19 passes in the game here for Overton. To me, that's a bit of an indication. It's probably not as many passes as they wanted to throw. They probably wanted to throw about half that in the entire game, if I had to guess. Hopefully, be able to talk with both head coaches. Mike Lowe from Shelton might be in a little bit better mood than Overton's Paul Heinzenveld, who's making his debut here for Overton. Aiton pass, almost intercepted. Threw it in underneath. His footing was a little bit off, and making the read there for Shelton was Dylan Thiefold, and Thiefold almost with a pick six there. If he holds on to that, there are no white jerseys in front of him. And he would have taken that about 35 yards for the score. Final score at St. Paul with a 17-9 win over Grand Island Central Catholic. Of course, we'll have all sorts of scores for you and some reports from around the area and talk to some coaches as well as some analysts and things like that. We'll have that on the Five Points Bank scoreboard show at the conclusion of our post game here on Classic Hits 98.9 FM. Aiton's going to roll out to his right on second and a bunch. He'll tuck it, go down the sideline. He's going to have enough for the first down. There is a flag down, and we'll see what the call is there. The tackle as he ran down the sideline was by Shelton's Brian Palmer, and the senior makes the tackle near midfield, but there is a hold, and that play is going to come back. So that'll be a hold here against Overton. And again, things just kind of unraveling a little bit. Aurora and McCook are heading to overtime. They're tied at 7, and St. Cecilia with a 24-14 lead over Kearney Catholic. They are now late in the fourth quarter, and if that becomes a final for you on our sister stations on the ESPN Superstation, we'll try to get you that update as well. With that hold, it's from the spot of the foul, and it was in the backfield, so the ball being spotted at about the 17-yard line, and they've got to get to midfield. So this is about 23, 24 yards here. Aiton's going to drop back, has a little pump fake, steps to his left, throws it deep in the face of pressure. There's all sorts of a crowd there, and it falls harmlessly to the turf. Within about 2 yards of where the ball landed, there was about 6 jerseys, and I don't think anybody touched football, and I'm not sure how that happened. But in any event, it is an incomplete pass. And so that'll set up 3rd and 1/4 mile. And again, right now for Shelton, they are bringing people in and out in large measures. JT Ellis checking into the game here a little bit. He comes in, and they're shuttling out guys on the defensive line as well. Again, Overton making some late substitutions. I'm not 100% sure they're going to get there. They haven't started the countdown yet, so they might have more time than I think. But they're taking a long time breaking the huddle. No countdown going on, so Ayton is in under center. He's got time to make the snap, little screen. They get it set up on the near sideline, and dancing around for Overton is going to be Colburn. And Colburn, not a bad little game, but everything just kind of sealed in a little bit because Shelton kind of playing that one safe. And it's going to be a gain of about 8 or 9 on the play on the screen. But because they didn't really bite and really didn't put up that much pressure, that one didn't really hurt Shelton too bad. And on 4th and about 15, punt situation here for Overton once again. Last time they punted, it was a touchdown run back. Here another high kick by Ayton. And with it again, with the is going to be Mueller. And Mueller, not much room to run there, and he's kind of hog-tied right there. He is pulled down from behind by Brandon Jarrett. Jarrett with the tackle, just kind of hog-tying him after a gain of about 5 or so. Took 2 overtimes, but McCook defeats Aurora 16-13, again in double overtime. Nice win there for the Bison. A pretty good matchup here in the early part of the season in Class B. Ball spotted about 28-yard line, and we'll see if we see some new bodies out here for Shelton. And one of the first ones we'll notice is a new quarterback in there. It's Clayton Stopcotti is going to be in there at quarterback and under center. He's going to hand the ball off and running right back up the middle, I believe, is Taron Hawks, I believe. I thought that was number 12. Nope, check that. It's number 32. So it is Glenn with the carry. And Glenn muscles his way right up the middle for about 5 yards or so. He has been a workhorse as Luke Glenn. He has carried the ball 20 times during the ball game. Gain of about 5, about 5.5 minutes left to go here for the Shelton Bulldogs. They're going to move to 2-0. Bad handoff there. Ball's on the ground. I haven't seen an indication who got it, and I'm not sure how somebody from Shelton fell on the football, but somebody did. And I think it might have been one of the offensive linemen. Lance Lyons was in that area, and somehow it rolled up to him. And a fumble there, and no gain on the play. It's going to be 3rd and 5, and now wholesale substitutions here for Overton. They bring off a fair number of players, and I think Overton's kind of conceding the point here as we've now hit the 5-minute mark. Stopcotti in at quarterback. In under center, hands the ball off to his tailback. That's going to be Glenn. Glenn bounces to the outside, breaks one tackle, and is pulled down, down to the 30-yard line. I think we're going to have a horse collar tackle, adding 15 more yards at the end of this one. But a nice little run there by Glenn, who gets the ball out to the 30-yard line, and that's going to be a gain of about 15 yards, about 17 yards on the carry, and then add another 15 at the end, I believe, for the horse collar. So they'll move the ball forward another 15 yards. It'll be 1st and 10 from the 15-yard line here for the Shelton Bulldogs. And with 4:49 to go, the clock will stop. It is the horse collar tackle, which is a 15-yard unsportsmanlike conduct penalty. And it's probably 15 yards is right, but that's not unsportsmanlike. It's just tackling with what was there, and I don't think really nothing intentional about it. Quick little pitch. And dancing around back there is going to be David Jimenez. And Jimenez, not afraid of anybody, but there wasn't a whole lot of room for him to run around there. And he gains maybe a yard or so. And Hodson with the tackle. Some other scores for you that we got here. It's a final Pleasanton with a 50-30 win over Amherst. So the Bulldogs in Class D2. Living up to their top 10 ranking. Gain of one, makes it 2nd and 9. Topcotti's going to fake the handoff. No, he does hand it off in underneath, and I think that's Jimenez. And Jimenez muscles his way through there with all 110 pounds that he can bring to the party, and he's pulled down at about the 10-yard line. That's actually going to be a gain of about 4 yards on the play. So he's got 11 yards on the game. And again, it's going to set up third and about 4.5. Clock still running here. 3.5 minutes to go. 44-14. Shelton with the lead. Scored the first 24 points of the ball game. A couple of times it looked like Overton was going to work their way back into it. But then Shelton makes another couple big plays. They have a big kick return and another big run. And next thing you know, they just keep adding the numbers to the left side of the scoreboard. And they have a 30-point lead here with about 3.5 minutes to go. I'm not sure. Well, now they start the clock here. Stopcotty will step in under center. And they'll just hand the ball off to the tailback. And again, met there right at the line of scrimmage. And the ball carried by yet another running back. It's Derek Ellis, the sophomore, brought down at about the 10-yard line. No gain on the play, and it's going to set up now fourth and a good solid 4.5 yards again as we're now inside of 3 minutes to go here. Friday night scoreboard show after we wrap things up with our postgame here. Scoreboard show brought to you by Five Points Bank. Again, we're getting a little bit later start to the scoreboard show, in part because we've scored 58 points in this game and also because we had a lightning delay that delayed the kickoff by about almost a half hour. Quick little pitch to the outside. With it is Jimenez. Jimenez bounces. Boy, he's awfully close to that first down. Just a little seam. You don't need much of a seam when you're weighing 110 pounds. I think I have pants in my closet bigger than that kid, and he still muscles his way down to inside the 10-yard line. And he has enough for the first down. He had to get to the 10, and he got him down to about the 8. So we'll give him credit for about another 6 yards on the carry. Oh, he's a little short. Okay, I'm looking at the wrong marker here. He's a little bit short. Instead of getting it by a yard and a half, he's short by a yard and a half. All right, so we have a stoppage. And the way they're moving the chains, I thought they were marking it for first and goal. In any event, it's going to be first and 10 here for Overton, and they call a quick little timeout. Apparently, I need one as well, so I'll call a timeout here with 2:34 to go in the ball game. 44-14, Shelton with the lead, Overton with the ball, and we come back right after this.
The most recommended by far, Houston's Body Shop, that's who we are. Put your car or truck back to factory specs. Estimates from certified techs. When you need a tow, we're the ones to know. The most recommended Eustace Body Shop. That's who we are.
And welcome back here. A JV game has broken out. They didn't need the full timeout. They called the timeout just to set everything up, and Overton has just turned the ball over. And again, they snapped it before we were kind of even ready, and I'm not sure who dropped the ball. But Ellis recovered for Shelton, that we saw coming out of that stack. In any event, one play and another turnover here for Overton. And with 2:27 to go, Stopcotty will get back in at quarterback. Jimenez will be his tailback. And so they're just, you know, I wasn't wrong earlier when I said it was going to be first and 10 at about the 8-yard line. I wasn't wrong. I was just early. That's my story. I'm sticking to it. 44-14, 30-point lead here. And Stopcotty up under center. Takes the snap. He's going to keep it. Going to tuck. Dances around. Met at about the 5-yard line. And he's going to be brought down there. Nice tackle for Overton, one of the younger kids. Brad Davey, the sophomore. Nice tackle. Good solid form on that tackle. And again, for Overton, they have a slew of kids who are sophomores and freshmen. They got a good young nucleus coming up here. And again, don't shovel too much dirt on the Eagles. They're not dead yet. They are going to lick their wounds from this one. They still, I think, are going to be a pretty solid football team. but they just could not get anything going here against Shelton. And Shelton has to call the timeout with a minute 51 to go here because different personnel packages and things like that early in the season, and they're just having a little bit of trouble getting everything kind of organized. So Shelton calls the timeout, and last time somebody called the timeout, they fumbled the next play. So hopefully this will go a little bit better here for Shelton as they lead it 44-14, a minute 51 to go here. And who would have thought that we might end up having a running clock in this one? I didn't think either team would get a running clock, and quite frankly, Overton's been doing that to teams for several years. So for Shelton, on their home field, and again, they had a little bit of an advantage, I think, by playing last week, and they look pretty solid. They look pretty solid. I think Coach Mike Lowe was not happy with how his team looked last week. I think he was a little bit pessimistic in terms of the overall look of his team after scoring only 18 points last week against Nebraska Lutheran. Well, this week against Overton, one of the top five teams in the state, his team has scored 44. So I think he'll be in a little bit better mood, and hopefully we'll be able to talk to him after the game. New quarterback again here for Shelton. It's going to be Taryn Hawks in at quarterback, and he'll keep the football on a little bit of a sneak right up the middle. He's going to be short of the goal line, but just ever so short. He'll gain about 3.5, almost 4 yards on the play. So Hawks with a gain of about 4. And it's going to be 3rd and goal from about the 1 yard line. 2 minutes left in the game, and it is St. Cecilia 24, Kearney Catholic 14. And a quick little handoff right up the middle. That touchdown for the Shelton Bulldogs. I believe that is Jimenez comes in there. Yep, he finds just a little bit of a crease there for his 110-pound frame, and he just kind of jumps through the little opening, and he goes in for the touchdown. And with a minute 12 to go, this one is just about over because we'll have a running clock as soon as Shelton kicks off here. So Jimenez, a one-yard run, and it is now 50-14. Minute 12 to go. Two-point conversion coming up. Both teams exclusively going with the two-point conversion. Sopcani, or check that, it's Hawks, and Hawks will keep it himself. He'll go in for the two-point conversion. So the quarterback keeps it, and Taryn Hawks gets in for the two-point conversion, making your score 52-14, a 38-point lead now for Shelton with a minute 12 to go, and we'll wrap this one up after we kick off. We'll have a running clock, and we'll kick the ball to Overton. We come back right after this.
Laser Tech has been putting the serve back in service for over 17 years. Laser Tech can help you with all your printer needs. New and reconditioned units, multifunction units, and fax machines, or cartridges and accessories for an existing printer. Laser Tech technicians are dispatched quickly, utilizing the latest technology, giving you same-day, next-day service. With Laser Tech, trouble-free solutions are only a phone call away. Know how to find the right solution for your business. The solution is how Laser Tech is helping businesses, doing what can be done every day.
3, 2, 1. Well, welcome back here, and a lot of practice for the second unit and the third unit. A lot of practice with the special teams as well, and now we're going to have the second team special teams out there. A little bit different look here. If kicking the ball off here for Shelton is going to be David Jimenez, and Cahoy will back deep. And Jimenez with the kick. And Jimenez, a little bit of a shorter kick, and bouncing to the outside with a little bit of a seam there for Overton is going to be Hodson, and Hodson going to be pulled down from behind. He was probably about a step away from busting that one. So Jimenez, we have on our roster 5'1", 110 pounds. Not only does he score the touchdown and then he kicks off, but ball returned to about the 35-yard line. And once they set things in motion here, we'll have a running clock because the lead now 38. As soon as they snap the ball, we'll have our running clock. Man in motion, different quarterback in there, and we'll check that for you in just a little bit. And handoff right up the middle, and not much room to run there at all. as Hansen with the carry. And right now Overton trying to move relatively quickly. Is the clock going to continue to run here, even if they go out of bounds and that sort of thing? And as off we go, this may very well be the final play of the ball game. It's going to be snapped from the 30-yard line. Nice little gain of 5 there for Hodson. Just kind of mop things up here a little bit. 30 seconds left as they snap the football. Quick little pitch back. And it is going to go out of here for Justin Hodson. Hodson jumps to the outside, has the ball about the 18-yard line. And they whistle for the clock to stop, but it should not stop. It should still be running because we have. But there's a flag on the play, so they got to discuss the penalty. So they do stop it for that. A legal shift against Overton, so they do stop it for that. And hold against Overton, so they have their choices of penalties to take here. It is a final score: St. Cecilia with the win over Kearney Catholic, 24-14. And again, at last report, Kearney High with a 3-0 lead at Lincoln East. That game was being delayed because of lightning delay there at Seacrest Field in Omaha. That was the last report we had. They're going to take the hold and decline the other penalty because you can't have both. And as soon as they get the ball set and everything, they'll snap the ball here with 22 seconds left, and we'll start the clock. And the clock will wind and get going here. And the pitch will go out to Overton's Lance Kaiser. And Kaiser on that far side is going to gain maybe about 3 yards. And there's 9 seconds left. They will not have the opportunity to snap the ball again. And so your final score in this one, Shelton moves to 2-0. You know, they've actually, they call a face mask against Shelton on the final play of the game, and the play cannot end on a defensive penalty. So, no time on the clock. I think this will be an untimed down, if I understand this correctly. Well, probably technically there should be some time on the clock, but it doesn't really matter. It's ball is going to be spotted at about the 20-yard line. This will be, barring another penalty, the final play of the game. For Overton and under center, it's going to be Joel Schaefer. And Schaefer is going to pitch the ball back. Running with the football, Kaiser. Kaiser comes off tackle on that right side. He's going to be pulled down at the 15-yard line. And now it's official. Your final score, 52-14. Shelton now 2-0 on the season. Overton falls to 0-1 on the young campaign. And next week for Overton, they will play host to Axtell, who will be looking for their first win of the season. And Shelton will travel to the road, and they'll be taking on Red Cloud as they'll head into that contest 2-0 on the season. And they most certainly will be feeling their oats after a 52-14 win over the Overton Eagles. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we'll have the Misco Sports Postgame Show. We're going to start totaling up all the numbers and come back with the scoring summary for you, and hopefully even be able to talk with one or two of the head coaches involved in tonight's game. We'll do that when we continue with the Misco Sports Postgame Show right after this timeout.
You've been planning to finish that room and remodel the basement, but there's never time. You can't always keep up on the to-dos of a house, and that's when you call the guys at Husker Tech. They can take the stress out of getting your house done, allowing you to still live your life. Commercial or residential remodeling, Husker Tech can also do all the concrete work, and they specialize in farm building steel or wood construction. They can take care of everything that needs to be done, except for maybe the dishes. That's on you. So call the McCarter boys today. You can find their listing in the Overton phone book.
When I told my buddies my starting quarterback in my fantasy league was going to be Matt Schaub, they all laughed. Well, me and my buddies went to Cunningham's Journal like we do every week, practically the ultimate place for sports fans. You can catch all your players on one of their bajillion screens. Husker football every week, awesome food and drink specials, and the beer's so cold. Anyways, we're watching the game on the 10-foot screen. There was Matt Schaub tearing it up, threw for 3 touchdowns, even ran for one. And guess who's laughing now? So sports fans, there's only one place to be time and time again. That's Cunningham's Journal, downtown Kearney.
every 3 months or every 3,000 miles. That's the recommended time when your oil should be changed. Take your vehicle to the professionals at Killian Motors. Check the oil. Check the filters. Check the fluids. Killian Motors will do everything needed to make sure your car is ready to go, including factory replacement parts. For service after the sale, see Killian Motors, where people have come back time after time since 1979. Nathan Central, Kearney.
And welcome back here to Shelton. Impressive win tonight for the Shelton Bulldogs as they win this one. Even get the clock running at the end, 52-14, the final in this one. And let's go through the scoring summary that we have for you, and then we'll come back and take a look at the numbers, get that totaled up, and hopefully be able to talk with the head coach for both teams, and especially want to sit down with Shelton head coach Mike Lowe, who obviously will be in a very, very good mood after last week. A tough, they won, but again, probably didn't feel like they played very well against Nebraska Lutheran, and a big win for them today, 52-14 with the win. Let's recap the scoring for you. In the early stages, it was very much about Mitch Rosh, who had a hand in all the scores that they had in the first half. The quarterback, first of all, was able to connect with Dylan Thiefault on a 20-yard touchdown pass in their second possession of the game. Point after was no good. It was 6-0. Then after again having a short field, this time Rosh carried the ball himself for a touchdown. That made it 12-0. And then a little trickeration. They pitched the ball out to their running back, Luke Glenn, who rolled out to the right, threw the ball back left to the quarterback, Rosh, who went in for a 15-yard touchdown reception. So he had a touchdown pass, a touchdown run, and a touchdown reception in the first three scores. And then later, after another turnover, was able to go 39 yards on a little bootleg Rosh did, and that made it 24-0. And then late in the second quarter, finally Overton gets on the board. They used the special teams to do it. Hayden Gahoy takes a punt 70 yards with a touchdown. Two-point conversion was good. So it was just a two-possession game as we headed into the locker room, even though Shelton really dominated action, and they led 24-8 at intermission. But then another big play, this time by someone other than Rosh. It was Luke Glenn, who had a 47-yard run as they pitched the ball to their running back. He goes in from 47 yards out, and that made it 32-8 as they did get the two-point conversion. Overton tried to answer back as Aiton, the quarterback, finally with a nice pass. I don't want to say finally, but finally being able to make a connection because they had trouble getting the passing game going. He threw a nice pass to Jacob Olmstead, who scores the touchdown from fairly close range. I think it was a 10-yard pass. The two-point conversion was no good. That made it 32-14. And then Shelton with three more scores in the fourth quarter. Rosh again gets in on the action as he's able to make the pass to David Mueller as they connect in the air, made it 38-14. Then Mueller with a 48-yard punt return for a touchdown. That made it 44-14. And then late in the game as JVs were kind of mopping up a little bit. Nice run by David Jimenez from 1 yard out, and the two-point conversion later on was good. That made it 52-14 as Shelton really dominated play. Overton turned the ball over three times. They were stopped on downs a couple other times, and really Shelton, every aspect of the game, you have to give them the edge, and they win this one 52-14, and we'll still total up some numbers for you and take a look at those numbers here in just a little bit and be able to talk with the coaches as well. Get your game on now at Misco's, located in downtown Kearney Center. Misco's will be very equipped for all the games you play. We're going to take a quick break. When we do, we'll take a look at the final numbers and talk with Mike Lowe, the head coach of the Shelton Bulldogs. We'll do that when we continue with the Misco Sports Postgame Show right after this.
Dr. Daniel McClenahan, DDS, is your family dentist in Overton. Make an appointment for the whole family to get a checkup and cleaning. Taking good care of your smile is more than the look. It promotes overall health and good oral hygiene. Today means healthier, happier smiles tomorrow. Dr. McClenahan is very proud to support all of our area youth, in and out of the games. Dr. McClenahan is keeping your smile healthy in Overton. Best of luck, Overton Eagles.
Congratulations, you've won $1 million from Publishers Quick.
Move out of the-
way, is that a Valentino's delivery truck going down the street? I didn't know they delivered. Hey, guys, Valentino's delivers!
It's the next best thing to enjoying Valentino's famous Grand Italian Buffet. Now, delivery of pizza, pasta, and salads. Just a call away, 308-233-3888. That's 233-3888. Better than $1 million? Depends on how hungry you are.
Hey, didn't you hear me?
Valentino's of Kearney now delivers.
When you're looking for a mechanic, you need someone you can trust and someone who knows what they're doing so they can get you back on the road. You have places to go and people to see, so make the Car Shop in Overton your first stop. Tim and the gang do general repairs, parts, and service. The Car Shop in Overton is a very proud supporter of all the area athletes in and out of the game. The Car Shop in Overton, your one-stop automotive headquarters, so when you're in need of parts, repairs, and service, the Car Shop is all you need.
And welcome back here to Shelton as the Bulldogs pick up a very impressive 52-14 win over the Overton Eagles. And kind enough to join us in our post-game show brought to you by Misco Sporting Goods is Shelton head coach Mike Lowe. And first of all, I haven't had a chance to talk to you. Congratulations. Very nice win here against a team that usually has a lot of respect and a lot of high things are expected for them. You have to feel really good about how well your team played tonight.
Very, very good. We came out and we did well in all facets of our game.
And again, I think I started talking early on that the kicking game was very instrumental for you guys getting a fairly good start in this one. It seemed like you guys always won the battle of those punts. You traded punts, and the first quarter was always played on your guys' end of the field. I mean, you really were close to the scoring every time you had your hands on the ball, it seemed like.
Mm-hmm. We took real advantage of that wind early on. Our punter pinned them deep right away, and they couldn't get out of their end, and just like you said, we had it. I think every possession started inside about the 30 or 40 yard line for us.
Did it really feel kind of like? I hope this doesn't come up as negative, but it almost seemed like sharks smelling blood in the water. I mean, there really was defensively a feeding frenzy where you guys really just kind of kept feeding on itself the success you had in that first half.
Mm-hmm. And you can see exactly how that worked out for us. We got a couple good plays going our way, and just like you said, they smelled blood in the water, and we just kept flowing to the ball, and no mistakes, and nobody ever got through on us.
And there were several other times when Overton was kind of a play away from maybe coming back into the game, and I just thought your guys' defensive contain, as Aiton kind of rolled around a few times, just he never really could tuck the ball and go. It seemed like you always had that defensive contain there. A lot of discipline for a defense that's only been, playing a couple of games.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if you would have watched this game last year, you definitely wouldn't be saying those things. We lost contain almost every single time, but that's what we preach, and they stuck to it, and they didn't let him outside, and we kept him in front of us and kept him in his backfield as much as we could.
We're talking with Mike Lowe, the head coach of the Shelton Bulldogs, after his Dogs pick up a 52-14 win over the Overton Eagles. You were kind of down a little bit on your team last week. You won.
Mm-hmm.
How are you this week? I mean, it seems like a stupid question, but how are you feeling right now?
Well, we're definitely not down on our team, that's for sure. We're probably on the highest of highs right now. Last week, even though we got the win, we just felt there was a lot more we could have done. Tonight, outside of one punt return right before halftime, there's really not a whole lot else I could have asked of my team tonight.
And that really, that one play was really the one time I think your tackling was poor.
Yes. It wasn't anything about the coverage. It wasn't anything about effort. We just missed tackles. I think he broke 3-4 tackles. We had our head down, and I think they let up a little bit. We were up by a little bit, and half was rolling down, and I think they just lost focus.
And again, I'm sure that came back at halftime.
Mm-hmm.
Shelton, it's been a while since Shelton's kind of had some success in football. Is this maybe the beginning of something?
I hope so. I graduated here in 2001, and we were a little above average, but that's probably all you can say. And since then, I don't know if you can say that about any team except for maybe one along the stretch there. And I'm just hoping it's on the upswing and we can just continue and roll. We got a good senior class, a good junior class right behind them, and we just get a lot of participation and a lot of effort out of everybody on the team.
And again, it really wasn't just one thing. It wasn't just one player. Obviously, we can talk about Rosh, a hand in the first four touchdowns and a reception, a pass, a couple of runs. So there's some talent out there, some individual talent, but every aspect of the game today, Coach, every aspect of the game. I mean, film study tomorrow is going to be a pretty good time.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. We get to watch, and we just get to see the stuff we do right. I don't know if there's a whole lot we can gripe on come Tuesday morning in school and see if there's anything we can improve on. Like I said, Mitch has stepped up. He's been in a leadership role now. He's been the quarterback for a couple years. And Luke Glenn's carries are, his yards aren't quite the same as they were last year, but we have somebody to capitalize on that now. We had a 1,000-yard rusher in him last year, and in the first two games, you can tell that's all the other team's trying to do, to stop Luke Glenn, and we needed another guy to step up, and Mitch is right there. He had 156 yards last week, and I'm sure he had some good yardage and a lot of touchdowns this week. So.
Yeah, and again, I was still totaling up the numbers for him. He had a relatively quiet second half. He had 72 at halftime, and doing the math in my head here real quick, which is why my head hurts, he would have 87. He would have right around 90 yards in the game. And in the second half, kind of looking at just, don't you just, it kind of managed the game. I mean, just it really play calling and everything was just really different that second half.
Yep, we had some big plays from Dave Mueller had a long run, a couple long runs on a, I think, a punt return. And so, I mean, we got some productivity out of places that we weren't really looking for it on stuff like that. So Mitch just, like you said, he controlled the game, he managed it, turned around, handed it off, threw some short passes. And that's what we asked him to do in the second half.
Yeah, Mitch finished with 86 yards on 13 carries. Unofficially, I had a Luke with 22 carries for 102 yards. Tucker Spellman had a yard in there. So you total up, you know, everything else in there. You had over 200 yards rushing the football today. You were eight. You threw the ball eight times. You were 5 of 8 for 62 yards and a couple of touchdowns in with that. And again, I think as much as anything, very impressive what you were able to do defensively. Alumet had 10 carries for 21 yards. Colburn, 6 carries for 28 yards. Ayton, 9 carries for 36 yards. So that'd be right at 50, about 86 yards. We held them to well under 100 yards of offense on the ground, and they completed 5 passes on you for 53 yards. You know, so again, you total all that up, you held a team that people think are going to be awfully, awfully good to about 130 yards of total offense, and you rolled up about 300.
Yeah, I think the hardest part about film study might be handing out helmet stickers on.
You might
week.
Run out.
So we might have to hold back on those this week.
Well, you might have to order some of Misco Sports.
There you go.
Misco Sports giving us coverage of the post-game show. And, Coach, congratulations. Coach Lowe, Mike Lowe for Shelton, congratulations. Nice win today, 52-14. Very, very impressive.
Right, we appreciate it. We appreciate the coverage.
All right, and it was a joy to do. So thank you so much, and best of luck to you down the road.
Thank you.
All right, once again, our final score in this one is 52-14. Nice win here for Shelton. And, again, really every aspect of the game, they got things going. And they jumped out to a quick early lead. And kind of Overton fought back into it late before halftime, but then they really stepped up their first drive of the third quarter, just kind of turned the tide. And just from that point on, I don't think there was much of a doubt that they were going to win this one. And they go win it 52-14. So glad you could join us for coverage of high school football here on Classic Hits 98.9 FM. Stay tuned. Coming up in just a few moments, as they're making the they're scrambling and everything, and Josh Jelen will be back in just a few moments with the Friday Night Scoreboard Show brought to you by Five Points Bank. I'm Randy Bushker. Thanks so much for joining us. We'll be in Kearney next Friday night for St. Pat's and Kearney Catholic. That'll be on our AM station. And next Friday night, right here on Classic Hits 98.9 FM, it'll be the Islanders and the Kearney High Bearcats. Grand Island and Kearney for you next Friday night, right here on Classic Hits 98.9. Until next week, good night, everybody.
The proceeding has been a presentation of Platte River Radio Sports.